After nearly 20 years, it is officially the end of the Afghan war as declared by the United States. I don't think it's fair to say that the war is officially over in a certain sense, because there's still going to be very serious conflict between warring factions. There are still Americans being left behind. Many people are criticizing Joe Biden because he promised this wouldn't be the case, and now they're saying it will be the case. But there's a lot to discuss there. And I do think we're dealing with some very serious problems and obviously a very serious crisis. But I'm not convinced, you know, it's fair to say that the U.S. has finally ended the war so much as they just abruptly left mid-evacuation because the Taliban has overrun the Kabul airport and they can no longer maintain the position. So sure, the war is over. And a resounding defeat that will lead to chaos. And I'll tell you, when you see these videos, Taliban flying helicopters, walking through the airports, do you think they will be able to maintain that infrastructure and that economy? No. I think Afghanistan is going to start to look like Syria really soon, but far be it from me to actually be an expert. I mean, to act like I'm an expert on this. We are but humble internet people complaining about things, and we've not been over there. So we definitely, you know, we've had some veterans in the past, but we'll talk about it to the best of our abilities because certainly we're allowed to have opinions. But I want to make sure that's clear. I don't think anyone here is going to pretend to be an expert having deployed or actually experienced any of this stuff. So take it with a grain of salt. There's a lot of other stuff we can talk about, too, which we will get into. But we got to talk about Afghanistan. Joining us today is the wonderful Libby Emmons.
Hi.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Libby Emmons. I'm the editor-in-chief with the Postmillennial. Glad to be here.
Right on. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Sup, Libby.
How's it going?
I'm concerned about this I'm concerned in a couple things. One is the way that it's been framed that we completed the withdrawal when it looks like we just stopped. It didn't look like anything got completed. It just ended with this, what seems like an arbitrary out date of the 31st. I don't understand why he would rush things out, leave all this equipment behind, and leave our allies behind.
The leaving of the equipment behind, I think, is that's pretty egregious. Also, the shuttering of the Air Force base instead of keeping that open and not having to go through the civilian airport, that seems like that was really poorly thought out as well.
A lot of people are saying it feels intentional. Yeah. And feels is different from it is, but people have their opinions, so, you know,
I wonder that it's really intentional or that it was just sheer incompetence, which is sort of what I'm leaning towards.
I don't know. We'll talk about it, because I don't know if I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about it, especially after Trump's latest comments. Yeah.
Oh, those are good, I hear.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me,
he's
before
I got something to say.
Lydia.
I am also in the corner. Yeah, I was like, what's next? What's going to happen next? I cannot make up my mind if it's incompetence or malice. It's always kind of a flip of the coin with the Biden administration. I'm hoping it's incompetence, but the sheer volume of stuff that we left there for our actual enemies is really disheartening.
Yeah, it could be abject failure.
Could be.
Before we get started, we'll get into all these stories. Go to TimCast.com, become a member, and you will get access to exclusive segments from the TimCast IRL podcast. Of course, we'll have one of those members-only segments coming up around 11 p.m. or so tonight, as well as an advertisement-free experience on all of our amazing, fierce, and independent journalism. And let me tell you, we have a story from this morning, Cassandra Fairbanks investigating. There was a truck carrying Moderna vaccines that crashed. And hazmat came out, airspace was shut down, cleanup crews working for 21 hours, reports that there was a waterway nearby, and we're digging into the story. And it looks like everything's fine. It was a shipment headed to Ghana for a donation, and the HHS says that they've recovered all the vaccine, so it wasn't spilled, but a lot of people were speculating, especially in the areas in West Virginia, why hazmat came out. So it's an interesting story, and it just goes to show the journalism that we are doing. And I think, you know, initially the story sounds much more exciting. You read into it, and you're like, okay, this was serious. But check out the news we've got at TimCast.com. We've got real journalists. We're hiring more people every day. Check that out. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. Right now, smash that share button. Take the URL, put it wherever you can if you really enjoy what we do. Let's jump into this first big story. We've got the lead from Daily Mail. Pentagon confirms the last U.S. troops and evacuation flights have left Afghanistan just after midnight in Kabul. Taliban take control of airport and celebrate with gunfire as 20-year war ends. There's so much to go through. First of all,
there really is.
You know, Ian, you just mentioned in the intro that it doesn't feel like they've completed the withdrawal. They just stopped withdrawing, like stopped evacuating people and just bounced out.
Yeah, the way this, even the statement this title that you just read off is phrased is that the last American troops left. Is that the last ones that are going to be leaving or gone now? Or is that the last of all of them? And they're not clear. I don't know if people.
They're very intentionally not clear. They won't let you know how many Americans are left behind. They won't let you know if they decided to stay on purpose or if they just didn't get in contact with these people. And then you've also seen in the past like week or two, you've seen, people saying on Twitter, like, I let somebody use my WhatsApp to get a visa at one point, and now I'm getting messages via WhatsApp on their behalf. Are they getting the messages, or am I just getting the messages? You know, these kinds of things. So it's really very peculiar, and it's hard to have any idea what's going on. The administration is not being transparent about it at all, and you can see that in the questioning that they've been – the questions they've been taking. And
what's up with this WhatsApp thing? Someone lets –
Yeah, or maybe it was, I think it was actually an email. So a person put on Twitter, I wish I had it, but it was one of these things that's on Twitter, so it's not like you can figure out exactly what the truth is. And the amount of things that I've been getting from people on Twitter that are like, here's video of a bunch of people getting shot inside the Kabul airport. And it's like, you know, I track through that person, I track through that person, track through everybody. And then you eventually talk to someone who is unwilling to go on the record. And you're like, okay, well, this story is not going to ever get out if I can't verify who these people are and what's going on. So yeah, it was somebody had said, I let a friend use my email address to receive visa information. I'm getting notifications now about how it's time to leave Afghanistan. Are they getting these notifications as well?
Or so, not? I don't think it's fair to say the war is over because, well, unless the press just stops covering it entirely now and says, yay, Biden, you did it, that's clapping. I think the Atlantic wrote the article, or it was in the Atlantic, that Biden deserves credit, not criticism.
Well.
I'm like, no, he deserves criticism. But the reason I say it's not over is there's still, I mean, at least estimates here from the Daily Mail, 100 to 200 Americans are still in Afghanistan, as well as our Afghan allies.
Right.
So do you think that in the coming days that we're going to hear news about American hostages?
I've been wondering about this as well, if we're going to have repeats of these kind of videos that we saw previously, you know, these beheading videos, these hostage videos. What's going to happen with that? There was a clip that came out over the weekend. It was Taliban soldiers in a TV studio with a TV anchor, and the anchor was saying what the Taliban told them to say. Yeah. You know, everything's going great. I don't think we have any idea what's going on. And the fact that we were engaged in a war for this long in a place that has destroyed empires before us was already absurd.
Yeah, that one I find particularly humorous, that people, you know, have mentioned, hey, all of these empires kind of faltered after Afghanistan mm-hmm. fiasco. But I'll tell you, back to the point about the war not being over. I'm watching this video clip of the Taliban walking through the airport, yeah. And there's like helicopters and planes. It's not just the military equipment they received. It's the civilian equipment that's left behind by those evacuating.
Right.
That's all resources. Trucks. There's something like 40,000 SUVs they've received. Now I'll tell you why it's not over. You think the Taliban coming in, I don't care if it's the Taliban or any government, honestly, although the Taliban would be markedly worse. You think they're going to be able to maintain the power? They're going to be able to maintain the infrastructure, the economy, the natural resources? Homes are going to lose electricity overnight. How many days do we have until all of a sudden the power goes out?
Well, also, they're already fighting with they have ideological battles with this other terrorist organization.
Mm-hmm. Right, ISIS-K.
You know? Yeah. There was actually a clip, I don't know if, I hope I didn't tell you guys this already. But Jack Kerouac went on the William F. Buckley show in, I guess, the 60s or 70s, whenever it was. And Kerouac said that he thought the Vietnam War was a conspiracy between the North Vietnamese and the South Vietnamese, who, in his words, were cousins, to get a lot of Jeeps in the country. And Buckley said, well, you know, I don't think it went too well for them. And Kerouac said, I don't know. They got a lot of Jeeps.
Yeah.
Mm. So well, they've got a lot of... equipment.
Have you seen the before and after footage from like Idlib or Aleppo, you know, in Syria and things like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a while ago, but
ago, for sure. Yeah. I remember, you know, you're looking at these photos, particularly like Aleppo, and it's amazing, this beautiful city, and there's like the colors oversaturated because people are trying to purposely evoke emotion. But you see the trees, you see the buildings, you see the people, and then it's like the Syrian civil war, and it's rubble. Mm-hmm. It's brown rubble. I don't know if it's going to get that bad in Afghanistan necessarily, but my personal opinion, which is based off of just what we're seeing right now, and a lot of things could change because I can't see the future. I think it might get to that point. You have no clear command structure. It's a group of people who are fighting against the U.S. And now Sure. Let me say this. You have some command structure, right? There's people who are in charge. But in order to maintain a country, and let alone a city, you need massive managerial infrastructure, which they do not have. So all of a sudden, you're going to have some dude, and he's going to be at a factory that makes, I don't know, you know, plastic lids or something, whatever they might need. And he's going to be like, I don't know where any of this stuff comes from. And he's going to go to the guy who works there and says, we order from this other company, but no one's there right now, or something like that. The power company, people are going to leave.
Things are going to shut down.
The guy who ran their central bank fled.
Right.
So now there's no, like, as much as I don't like central banking, there's still, like, the system has been gutted from the inside. So what's going to happen? Where are people with no food? People are going to go nuts, and it's going to start breaking down, and it's going to get brutal.
It does beg the question, what is America's responsibility to nations that can't handle their own governance? We certainly stepped in Europe all over the place. But is that the kind of thing that people want from us and other countries? I think it's pretty clear that the people of Afghanistan don't want that. They don't want the U.S. determining their government structure or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. So, and what is the, I saw another, I wish I could remember exactly who this was. I'm sorry that I can't. But I saw somebody else who was talking about how America really is falling apart itself at point. How can we take in some 200,000 Afghan refugees? Who knows how well they've been vetted? We have people pouring across the southern border. We don't have any control over that. We have governors fighting with the president over the sovereignty of their own states and the sovereignty of American borders. We can't properly educate our children. We can't figure out a cohesive strategy for dealing with, you know, a global pandemic that we have taken responsibility for globally as well as nationally. What is it that we think we're doing? You know, it's like we constantly are talking about how much we hate ourselves and how we are the worst oppressors and we're, you know, this privileged, horrible, bratty country. But we also take on everybody else's problems. And as much as the left will talk about American exceptionalism being a problem, they're the most American exceptionalist of all. They think that we can go out there, smack ourselves in the face, wear hair shirts, and still save the world. And that's what they expect. It's very weird to watch.
Yeah.
I feel like this war thing in Afghanistan, which is never actually, it's not a real war. It was never declared by Congress. It was just a military action. And it was only to get bin Laden. There was no Taliban involved in any of this in the beginning.
Right.
The Taliban formed around it. And then it was ISIS. Then it was Al-Qaeda. Or it was Al-Qaeda in the beginning.
Well,
let's
slow down. Taliban was 1994.
Okay, so Taliban's been around forever.
So I guess,
people, different names, different places.
No, the Taliban formed out of the Mujahideen, and there was an Afghan civil war.
But
they started expanding, gaining more power, and then the U.S. is like, we're going to go in and get them.
Well, we went in to get Al-Qaeda, to get Osama bin Laden, and then that got happened after a couple of years, and then they stayed.
A couple years?
Yeah.
After a decade, bro.
And then the real reason we went in came out was to build that country in the eyes of America and get its resources. Well, that faltered. We have no justification to fight. I mean, it's not to fight the Taliban. We were never there to fight the Taliban.
Right.
So that is not something we will ever do.
It was colonization. They call it nation building. I'm like, yeah, it's colonizing.
Yeah, it was colonizing.
I'm not saying that from some leftist college blue-haired perspective of they're colonizers. No, it's like literally
it's actually what it is.
Yeah.
The only problem with colonization is when it fails.
And it can feel badly.
Like, I don't know. There's problems with colonization. How would you feel if China colonized New York City?
I think it'd be worse if they did a bad job of it, frankly.
I think it'd be bad no matter what.
it'd be terrible no matter what.
Sure, I guess if China came in and all of a sudden restored everyone's civil rights.
I would say Western colonization is specifically bad when it fails. But I don't think, you know, I think there's an argument to be made that Western colonization has actually been globally good in a lot of ways.
You know, I'm of the opinion that we should, at this point, I mean, to a certain extent, I would agree, obviously. But I'm also of the opinion of, like, maybe we should mind our own business, especially at this point.
I feel that way as well. And I also feel that way in terms of nations that clearly don't have any interest in what we have to offer.
Well, there was a poll I saw of a bunch of different countries pertaining to Islam. And when it came to Afghanistan, these people did not share our values in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were people who were, like, I'll put it bluntly. We can sit here and say, hey, look, it was better with Americans there because of freedoms and economics. But these people genuinely hate, you know, our way of living. They are very, very faith-based. They're very, very tribal, like literal tribes.
Right, actual ones.
And there was a poll where I think like a very large percentage thought the death for, the punishment for apostasy is death. Like, mm-hmm. we don't have those things. And so we enter this country, very different way of living, very different clothes, much more advanced weapons. And we tell them from now on, you live the way we tell you. Naturally, they're not happy with that. They're still not happy with that.
Well, and they shouldn't be. You know, there's also this issue of how can you bring, you can't bring democracy and this kind of liberty to a populace that doesn't want it themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just force that on people because that's like the thing you're saying you're not going to do. And then you're doing it in order to get them to live your way. That's not effective.
But let's talk about the more, what's the right word? Terrifying result of everything we've done in this. I'm going to say it, and people might get mad. It actually is a kind of funny video as much as it is horrifying.
Now I'm scared.
Taliban appear to fly U.S. Black Hawk helicopters over Kandahar.
Oh, yeah.
The Afghan Air Force reportedly had 167 operational aircraft, including 33 Black Hawk attack helicopters, before the Taliban took over. And there's a video, you may have seen it, of the Taliban literally flying around in Black Hawks. There's like a guy hanging from it. And there's this one Twitter account of the Taliban. They're tweeting, like, trying out our new weapons and stuff like this. The U.S. just gave one of the most advanced militaries, not an air force and ground forces, to ideological extremists.
Mm-hmm.
It's
who beat us back with basically rocks and sticks.
That's the amazing thing. Like, was the goal of the Americans, like, how can we funnel a bunch of weapons to these people?
No, it was, we're going to leave these weapons for the Afghani allies. It really was, but we're going to strip all their support out and they're just going to figure it out. And then the Afghani allies were like, no, we're not, because we can't.
Well, but we also gave all those Afghan allies the option of leaving, right? I mean, we facilitated in the past couple of weeks or whatever, we facilitated a massive brain drain from that country. Mm-hmm. How do we expect it to ever stand up for itself after we basically said to all of the educated people there, why don't you just come here? Why don't you abandon your responsibility to your own nation and come to a nation that we're already destroying?
that's really the craziest thing to me, seeing so many people be like, I don't care about this place I'm leaving.
Right.
You know, okay.
Why were we trying to help a nation where the brightest people in the country didn't care about it?
Because
heroin and oil.
No. Yeah. I was going to say, these people were not raised. You know, a lot of them are young. Mm. Like the one guy who got on the plane and then died, I think he was, 19 years old.
Right, the soccer player.
So he was born into occupation.
Right.
He has no sense of country, no community. So when it all comes crashing down, he's like, that's what I recognize, and I don't know what that is, so I'm going with that.
Right.
So the United States did a very, very poor job of culture building. And you know what's funny?
Well, we shouldn't be culture building somebody else's culture.
Well, no, for sure. We shouldn't have been in there in the first place.
Yeah, not with military. Yeah.
But
with
the point is, if you want an operation like this to be successful, to like create a stable country or whatever, you've got to give people stories and things to rally around and victories and something like, you know, we have this story of the writing of the Star Spangled Banner where like the bombs are exploding. And then every time a bomb blasts, you could see the flag just as the light of the explosions. And then when they came back to the fort, what did they find? The dead bodies of the American soldiers who were running in and holding the flag up, and their bodies formed the base that kept it. Those are the stories that people are like, shed a tear like, yes, we did it. They don't have any of that.
We even have cultural stories, though. I mean, if you think about it, during the Cold War, you know, the USSR was our big enemy. And how did we infiltrate the USSR? We, you know, Americans and Europeans would go there with suitcases full of blue jeans and Beatles tapes.
Yeah.
You know, we infiltrated culture from the bottom and from the side and Taliban, from the angle.
They make the blue jeans illegal. Right. You'll literally be killed in public if you're listening to music in public.
And you know, I think that that's something that America forgets, is our best offerings are not our, you know, administrative level things. Our best offerings are our culture, and we are undermining that too at every turn.
In the United States, we are undermining our own culture. It's falling apart. I think for the most part, the Uniparty is absolutely to blame. These people have no idea how countries are run. Politics is downstream from culture.
Yeah.
And so the Republicans clearly do not understand this. When they're like, we got so many judges in, yeah. And then the judges are like, political pressures forced me to go in the direction of mainstream culture.
Also, once you're in court, you lost. It doesn't matter what the victory is.
I gotta say, this 21st century war, because this is to both the points you guys are making, with the new age of military and the way it's done with the internet, you don't send troops to a country, nation building. You don't put a soldier on every block and every window so that they can't get from place to place. You basically are controlling the system because they have Facebook groups. They can coordinate on the internet now. Putting troops in a foreign country to nation build is not the tactic anymore. And if anything that I've learned from the vets that are coming back there, it's that. You did not fight in vain. You fought to teach us that in a modern war, we cannot be putting boots on the ground to build nations. It has to be through the internet.
Except when you can't get internet in there, either because of the mountainous region of the country or because of the ideological extremism.
Yeah, that
which
sucks.
Which is my point about what's happening here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. They spent so much time worrying about Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran in between that they ignored the fact that the U.S. itself is being overrun by a psychotic cult of people. And I'll tell you, I love the idea of the cult. You know why? Because I saw this post about horse dewormer on Reddit. Okay, that listen, and the people in the commented like it's a death cult, and I'm like, bro, if you actually did 2 seconds of Google searching, you would realize that certain medications, which are widely available at Walgreens, but for some reason the media keeps saying horse dewormer over and over and over, because you are in the Matrix. And so here we, maybe that's what they're thinking. They're like, I don't know, let's have a dumb population that'll allow us to flourish. No, it won't. A bunch of people who have no idea what's going on, who can't make any decisions, and perhaps you think that'll empower you, but it guts the country from the inside. It's a brain drain happening in our own country.
We've done it on purpose. I mean, we did it on purpose because we had these ideals of what we should be doing instead of the thing we were doing. So we've gutted our educational system. We've completely devalued the college degree. We've devalued graduate degrees. We've devalued diplomas. We don't learn anything in schools at this point. We don't teach anything, you know?
Imagine unironically thinking college is a good idea.
Right? Know? Yeah.
Or unironically saying college is a good idea.
I'm sure that I have a similar experience to you guys. When I was a kid, my parents were like, you know, you're definitely going to college. And I'm looking at my son and I'm like, if you want, maybe you could go to state.
Oh, I'm totally different from you. I'd be like, no.
Yeah, make sure he understands the compound interest.
I'm telling him, you know, like the money I have saved for you, you could also just buy some property if you want. Ooh. You know, you could travel.
Start a business at 14.
You could do whatever you want with this.
You could read on your own on the internet, which is now free.
Exactly.
And learn how to discern between real and fake news and then teach yourself. Because there are a lot of prominent young people or young people today who are older but rose to prominence when they were young because they just went online. And there's some famous stories about young hackers or like, you know, let's say tech entrepreneurs. And when they were 15 years old on the internet in forums contributing code, the other 30-year-olds taking that code had no idea it was a 15-year-old contributing.
Right.
And so there's a real opportunity to get away from that broken system. But I do think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, though, with the coming collapse. Remote working means you'll be around your kids more often.
Right. That is a plus.
And remote schooling means the parents are more likely to be near their kids when their kids are learning.
And these to see things. What's actually being taught.
Right.
The CTO of Mines.
Which is pretty important.
He was 17 when he started working with Mines. I mean, you can do it young. You do not need school.
This is the big thing why we talk about the Cast Castle vlog we've been doing and building culture and trying to bring more people here to have fun.
Yeah, that's so important. That's like the most important thing is storytelling, you know, remembering the old stories. I think that's a big part of it, too. The more we replace the canon with things that we think, you know, are contemporaneously important, the more we undermine what our culture is founded on.
There's a really interesting.
We have to go back to the old stories.
There's a really interesting kind of similarity between some of what's happening with the Taliban flying around in Blackhawks and what's happening in the U.S. We have ideological zealots who have taken over the New York Times, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're wearing it like a skin suit. And that we see that with so many different franchises and movies.
Ezra Klein at the New York Times. We've seen that.
What did he do?
He's just, you know, he's writing these columns all the time that are just supporting the administration without any real reason. Or Jennifer Rubin today at the Washington Post.
Ridiculous.
Where she was like, the U.S. is still the only superpower. And it's like, girl, if you got to say that, we're already in trouble.
But so the New York Times, this powerful institution of, you know, 100+ years or whatever, now being worn as a skin suit by these ideologues, American military power and Air Force supremacy with the Blackhawks. now being worn by an ideological extremist group that's have seized control of this infrastructure.
How many missiles?
I'm not saying it's identical. I'm just saying there's an interesting similarity.
They're not going to tell you how many missiles they left. They're not going to tell you how much equipment.
Did they see? Did you see this Taliban's new arsenal graphic? Was anyone able to?
Yeah, there were some graphics, but I couldn't. 22,000 Humvees. Out where they came?
This says it's from the U.S. Government Accounting Office.
Oh, Ian, interesting.
What country is due west of Afghanistan?
That would be Iran.
And do you think that when everything starts falling apart in Afghanistan and they need electricity and infrastructure and resources, do you think they might say, hey, Iran, look at the 42,000 SUVs we have. Might you need some of this?
Yes, I think
we have some Hellfire missiles sitting right here in this building. We can't do anything with them.
I think,
but you know, what we do need is electricity.
And Iran is pretty close, a lot closer to nuclear capability now at this point anyway.
I'm willing to bet the moment they took Kabul. Like, I'm willing to bet a phone call was made the moment Donald Trump signed that peace treaty.
Mm.
With it, Iran was immediately like, give me, what do you got? What are we going to do? But I'll tell you this. There may have been some phone calls back and forth back then. The moment word got out that Bagram was abandoned, that all of its equipment was abandoned, Iran called up and said, called up the Taliban and said, buddy, hey, right. How you been?
The most popular killer.
Who's always been there for you?
What do you think would have happened if the U.S. had left on Trump's timetable?
It's not so much about the timetable. It's about the caliber of leadership.
Right. I'm wondering, how that would have been, if it would have been any different. Biden has said repeatedly that he doesn't think it would have been any different.
Well,
he says, I think he's wrong, too.
It would have been similar.
A little more organized, perhaps.
It's not so much about the timeline. The bigger question is, what would have happened if Biden stuck to the arrangements and agreements set forth by the Trump administration? How about this? Why did they abandon Bagram overnight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they easily could have said, we're evacuating out of Bagram. Why didn't they why didn't they do in April? I haven't fact checked this, but I've seen some reporting. In April, the U.S. issued a warning to American citizens. You need to get out.
Right.
Now, a lot of Americans chose to stay, and that is true, but I don't think it's as easy to say that Americans were like, well, they're choosing to stay. That's their problem. Well, it's probably like there's people they're trying to help and won't leave behind.
Right.
And so that means the U.S. need to have a hard extraction, like, come on, get your stuff. We are leaving. You can't stay. It's tough, though. Americans do have a right to choose to stay in a combat zone, private contractors, whatever. But I believe if they stuck to the original plan, and I'll tell you this. It's more to do with the leadership than just the plan. But if the original plan was stuck to, I don't think this would have happened. I think the Taliban would have absolutely tried moving forward, and then there would have been some very serious drone strikes. Drone striking, moving militants through the desert, heading to provincial capitals, is a lot easier than doing a drone strike on residential houses in Kabul, which just killed a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I think that there's also something to be said for sticking to the plan that your predecessor laid out, because America's word is now garbage. We made a deal, and then we were just like, meh.
Yeah but the Taliban,
I feel like that's a problem. Like,
but the Taliban,
regardless of whether or not, the Taliban would have stuck to their end, the U.S., once the U.S. makes a deal, we should stick to that. It shouldn't matter who's in power.
The Taliban broke the deal.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. I take that back. Biden broke the deal.
Yeah.
He broke the timeline.
We should have as soon as he got into office, he should have said something like, if this was the view, I don't think we should leave right away, but we said we would, so I'm going to honor the word of the United States.
Yeah, I feel like he didn't do much about it in the early days of his presidency.
Yeah, he didn't do anything except reverse Trump bans on critical race theory. He spent days reversing executive orders instead of actually, and getting masses of praise for that.
I could see months and months where they did not do anything about evacuation, even though they knew they had a timetable, because in the back of his mind, he was like, F Trump. I'm not paying attention to that guy, whatever. I'm not.
Right.
I'm focusing on this. And he had months to prepare for this.
Well, and I think he also had this completely backwards idea that the entire rest of the world thought that Trump was as illegitimate as the current administration thinks Trump was. But in fact, that wasn't the case. Whether our allies or enemies or whatever liked or didn't like Trump, he was the legitimately elected president, and he was treated that way, as well he should have been. And his bilateral agreements, were the word of the United States, whether Biden liked them or not. So when he came in, he kind of acted like, oh, the past 4 years, I can just, you know, completely sweep them under the rug and get rid of everything that happened during that period of time, because everyone knows that that was an illegitimate presidency. And that was completely bonkers and a slap in the face to the American public that voted for the previous administration.
Joe Biden made a promise. He promised that there would not be Americans left behind. From the Daily Caller, Biden breaks his promise and leaves stranded Americans behind at the mercy of the Taliban. There's some nuance here that I do want to get into.
What's it like? They said it was like in the low hundreds, I think, right? Today.
I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah,
I mean, that sounds absurd to me. It's got to be in the thousands.
And you saw that question the other day about transparency, where the one kid was like, maybe I'm saying kid, I'm sure he's younger than me anyway, but he was like, you know, you didn't give us accurate information about dog bites. So why do we think that you're giving us accurate information now? Major apparently bit Secret Service guys for days. And instead of answering the question of how can we believe you now when you weren't even transparent about the stupid dog, Jen Psaki just gave information about the dog, which may or may not be accurate.
So this is from August 19th, this promise. If there's American citizens left, we're going to stay to get them all out.
Oh, that's right.
Now they're saying, well, you know, everybody wanted out. We got them, huh? And we can't get them anyway.
Why did they rush? Why did they rush? I don't understand.
Wait, no. Rush?
Yeah. Why did they rush to get it out by the 31st? What? The Taliban?
They didn't rush.
Well, why didn't they get everybody out of
Florida? I thought the Taliban kind of took over the airport.
Well, that's because they started evacuating. They got rid of Bagram. They pulled out all sorts of weird defenses and logistics early.
I think, like, hold on. An attack happened and 13 servicemen and women were killed because the U.S. did not pull them off of the gate. Abbey Gate.
That's right.
And they had forewarning. They warned others to prepare for an imminent attack, and they did not pull our troops off that gate. They wanted to keep it open a little bit longer for the British.
Was it those service animals?
Americans were told not to come, to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
The men and women in uniform at the gate were supposed to shut it down earlier, but they decided to leave it open, and that's what happened. And so they are under fire. They fear more attacks are coming, so they said, pull them out.
I'm thinking, like, grand scheme. You've got all these people you need to get out. Why would they just not say, look, it's going to take us until it takes us to get these people out? The Taliban, what are they going to do, attack?
Yes.
And then
we're
at war. Then we attack back. We've been at war for 20 years. We're going to stay there, and we're going to get everybody out.
That's
bad. Not
why?
Better.
What's
that's
the? It's better. Already bad. It's war. There's so many people there that need our help.
Ron Paul, I think, said it best. When you prescribe the wrong medication, you don't simply say, well, there might be a withdrawal, so we'll keep them on it. No, you get off that medication. And that what he's saying is, we should not be in this country. Well,
but what if the medication got people addicted, and it's going to kill them if you take them off it, but it's not the right medicine? You got to figure out a way to get them off without killing them.
That's literally said, even if there would be a withdrawal symptoms from it. The point is, you can't. We can't just stay. We can't reinvade.
I mean,
the problem
we never
was,
should have gone in. It was just...
It's a bunch of backseat quarterbacks, Monday morning quarterbacks.
Sure, but I mean, still, like, what were we supposed to... What would we be doing there right now other than, like, getting shot at?
Drone bombing roads to
aren't
protect...
We doing
listen,
that?
This is exactly the problem.
That's what we did.
Joe
do.
Biden botches the withdrawal, and now here you are saying we should have stayed in. Exactly.
Well, we should
that's
have evacuated
why,
people
that's why,
if
yes.
we were going to evacuate people.
That's why yes. Tucker Carlson said, it seems like Biden did this on purpose. Right. And he's not the only one who
what,
said it.
Just to make it look, I missed that clip. Was that like to make it?
Well, many
look
people
like
have brought
we
this up.
Shouldn't have brought. We shouldn't have left
no,
at all. Was it
that
like to
by botching this withdrawal, it would force the U.S. to reinvade? And now even Trump himself is saying, "I would send in more troops." Yeah,
didn't
yeah,
we,
yeah. Here we
did
go.
Send in like 6,000 more troops.
We did, and
to
so the concern
leaving.
The concern is the stupidity. Or the malice, whichever one it is you want to believe it was, because abandoning a two-runway Air Force base and then shuttling everybody to the civilian airport in the middle of a densely populated city is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Asking permission from the enemy to allow us to retreat. Like, come on. I get it. You do that in war sometimes. You know?
And now there are Americans still there because having nothing to do with the timeline. The timeline is irrelevant. Biden's promises are meaningless. The point is, the administration is so absolutely vile and pathetic, whether it was intentional or not. They screwed up everything. And maybe they want this as justification. I don't remember who was on the show last time. They said maybe it was to punish us. That you see what happens when you want to withdraw. This is what happens, and you get to watch. Yeah, well, it's your fault. I don't care. Screw all of these people who started all of it and want to do everything in their power to make sure this stuff keeps happening. If we didn't go in there in the first place, listen, Cassandra Fairbanks said it best when she was on the show talking about China. There are many countries on this planet that are engaging in atrocities, and we don't report it in the news. We don't talk about it. We don't go there. We don't invade. We don't colonize. But some for some reason, some
allies.
Of these countries. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What did the Taliban say? They said, how come the U.S. is okay with Saudi Arabia?
That's a really good question.
Yeah. So I'm sick of all of this. I'm sick of their excuses for how they break things and then say, oh no, oh, but if only, not if only. You guys broke it on purpose. I don't mean the withdrawal. I mean the country itself. They wanted a nation build. It was an intentional action to go into the country, start nation building, and the whole thing broke because of it.
I think Obama's interest was in nation building because he ran on a platform in his first campaign. He said, I'm going to send more people into Afghanistan. We're going to keep doing this. And I remember talking to friends at the time being like, he's going to keep this war going. You guys marched with me against this war when George Bush invaded.
It's Obama
we,
now.
You know, went into the streets and we were like, don't do this. And now you're voting for Obama, who is definitely planning to keep this war going. That's, of course, what happened.
My favorite was people I knew who voted for Obama twice, who then were like, we have to vote for Biden. I'm like, dude, you were at Occupy Wall Street protesting Biden, like Biden and Obama, you were mad at them. Now you're like, Biden's our only hope. Wow, they've sure turned you around.
They really sold us on this guy. They really sold the country on this guy. It was a false bill of goods. They did such a terrible job. And everyone just kept backing him. All of the news media, for the most part, was backing him. You know, you had like universities and institutions and all the organizations were saying, we have to go with Biden, all because they hated Trump. They did this to us because they hated Trump for their own reasons without being able to look at, you know, policies or whatever and say, ah, this is okay. This is not good. I hate his bluster, but this is, you know, this is what the situation is. They created this cult of personality for Trump and then became everything they hated about him.
It's really the most amazing thing.
And propped up a puppet presidency.
Like the joke is an alarming number of people who said punch a Nazi are now saying papers, please.
That punch a Nazi thing was so disturbing. 2017, is that when it got popular?
Remember kill TERFs?
Please,
you remember
don't.
That one?
Yeah,
There was a kill TERFs exhibit at the San Francisco Public Library.
There was pink and blue
baseball bats to go beat up women who think biological sex is innate.
There was a funny thing that happened on Facebook where a bunch of feminists were saying, kill all men. And then Facebook started banning them. And they were shocked and outraged, saying, but we're just making a political point. And Facebook was like, you can't advocate for genocide.
Unless.
And they were like, but, and like, no buts, you can't advocate for genocide.
But you can't ever advocate for punching people of a political persuasion in the face. Like, that's so crazy. That should be banned.
Yeah, Twitter allowed.
That stuff gets banned off
Nazis,
when I was working in mines, that stuff was not allowed. That was a call to violence. Yeah. The thing is, it's not an imminent call to violence, because it's not like punch a Nazi at 2 p.m. tomorrow. That then becomes illegal.
Right.
But when you just say, hurt a person, you know, and you're kind of vague about it, there's no imminent threat.
Well, the problem is,
so it's not illegal.
At the time, it was the word Nazi. Now it's like far right. Everybody's far right.
Next it'll be fascists. What?
There's no definition of what these things mean. We try to understand what it is, but I just love when they love when they smear Ian, trying to make you seem right wing, and everyone who watches the show is like,
it's so confusing, even to me, dude.
Not true.
Some sort of tidal wave hurricane.
It's like you're a long haired hippie guy talking about psilocybin and DMT. And
all this
like,
stuff transcends political parties. That's part of why I'm here and why I enjoy this so much. You know, we're people first with like needs and wants, and then the politics we've just made up. All that stuff didn't used to exist as humans. We've created it. It's
but fun. I love talking to people who are, you know, trying to navigate the space, maybe new to it. And they're like, you know, are you left or right? And they'll say something like, oh, I don't know. You know, I think I'd be on the left or like probably middle of the road. And then I say something like, what did I say? I can't remember. There's so many wedge issues in the culture war, but something like, do you think there should be no medical exemptions for vaccine mandates? And they're like, oh, well, no, I don't think. Okay, you're an anti-vaxxer and you're far right.
Right.
No joke. Like, if you went outside and you were standing in front of a hospital and someone said, do you oppose mandatory vaccination with no medical exemption? You said, wow, that sounds really bad. Aha, you're far right. The media would call you far right.
You know, that's been happening all over my Facebook. So I'll post things. I think it was the last thing I posted on Facebook was probably Tyrant de Blasio's vaccine mandate situation thing. And I was like, this is tyrannical and fascistic. And I got so ganged up on for that. And people are saying, you know, you give up privacy all the time, or, you know, you've given away this many of your rights already, so what's a few more?
Oh, and that's, like, that's a good reason to do it. You're losing, so just lose.
just give it up altogether. You know, you've already cut off your right arm, so just cut off your left.
It's the word just.
Mm-hmm.
It's only just a mask. Calm down.
Justice.
It's just 15 days. Calm down. It's just until we can make sure we slow this down.
It's not a big deal. Why are you speaking back against authority? Here's the thing about the people I'm talking about here. Okay, these are people that I have known. They're all art. These are artists. These are actors. They're writers. They're directors. They're theater people. They're painters. Yeah. And they're telling me that my concern about having to show my paperwork just to order a drink at a bar, that makes me a bad person, that I would dare question the authority. These are people who have for their entire lives until now said things like question authority, you know? And then Obama comes along. First of all, that was the first clue that all of these people were willing to turn tail, right? Obama comes along and everyone suddenly trusts the federal government. Why would you ever trust the federal government for anything?
I also was in the theater. I found a lot of people in the theater. This is a gross exaggeration. It definitely isn't going to be for everybody in the theater, but I think a lot of them are followers that want to be accepted, that are kind of weirdos, that love being part of a group and that need to feel like they're not weird. And so now we're seeing that sociologically, because a lot of people I know in the theater are weird, like huddling with the mask and like, let the government control everyone.
That is what's going on. They're hiding out. Yeah.
They get into jobs like this because their goal is to be famous.
Yeah.
That's not how art used to be.
That's
not how real art used to be. When I got involved in art, I was an artist, and so I had to be involved in making art, and it had nothing to do with being famous or anything like that. You know, it's nice to have accolades. It's nice to have people recognize your work and say that they enjoy it. But making art has nothing to do with being accepted by masses of people or being propelled into some sort of stardom. That's the complete bastardization of it. You make art because you need to tell stories, because you need to communicate part of the river of human consciousness. You need to explore that. You need to communicate that to people. That's what art is. I mean, you know, is art an object, or is art the experience of participating in art? Which one is it? Is it both? These are the questions that artists used to ask. These are the questions that we used to talk about late at night and try and figure out what kind of work we wanted to make. And now you see what's going on in the art world, and it's all about propelling your own personal self forward and hoping you get some sort of, you know, I don't know, Oscar or whatever the things are. It doesn't make any sense, and it's not art. It's just another industry.
I noticed something really interesting. A great change happened that makes me kind of happy. Several years ago, back when I was working for like Vice and Fusion, I would get emails all the time from people who are like, I want to do what you do. You're so lucky. I want to travel the world, report, make documentaries. It sounds so amazing. And I'd be like, well, go and do it.
Go do the thing.
But they would always be like, oh, it's too hard. I don't have enough money. It's impossible. If only I had your job. And I said, I just bought a bus ticket for $20 and went to New York with a cell phone. Granted, right. I had a cell phone, but you can do it, right? Well, there were a few people that I said, okay, how about this? How about you come, I'll introduce you to a bunch of people, we'll get you a bunch of advice, we'll send you off in the right direction. And they're like, wow, really? Like, yeah, come hang out. By all means, we want to support people who want to do this stuff. And you know what would happen every single time? Within a week, they'd be like, I don't want to do this. And I went, no, hold on, what do you mean you don't want to do this? Oh, they saw how the sausage got made.
Yeah.
You mean you have to actually get on a plane for 12 hours? It's uncomfortable. Your back hurts. Then you land. You're groggy-eyed. You go through security. They question you what you're doing. They could turn you around. You got to go to the press building. Then you're in a country where they have no muzzle control, and the Egyptians were pointing guns right at people's heads. And they're like, that doesn't sound fun. That's scary. And I'm like, so what did you want to do exactly? Well, I wanted to be on TV.
That's the same thing that used to happen with art. So I was making theater, you know, for no money. I was like, you know, paying stuff out with my own day job or whatever, which was fine. I am honored and privileged to do it. But people seem to think that the thing you're doing is something else, right? So it's like you show up, you work 12, 15 hours a day to do the thing, to make the artwork, to make that one crystallized perfect moment that you can share with the audience. And then everybody loves it. And then everyone wants to, yeah, because that's what happens. And people are like, I want to do that. I want to make that kind of artwork. But they don't actually want to make it. They just want to be part of that final experience. And it's not the same thing. Like, it's when you're really, when you're doing successful work, you don't realize that you're successful. You're just doing the thing that you do every day.
Well, here's what the change was. So I saw those people who were just like, oh, I want to be on TV. I want to be famous. And then something started to change around the Trump era. When Trump came out, then I saw the media lying, and I'd be like, they're lying about that, and they're lying about that, and I don't like Hillary or Trump, so whatever. All of a sudden, a lot of these emails started to stop. And really? Today, as much as we get tons of job offers, there's something very different in the requests, in the, I want to do what you do. It's very, very different. It's the emails I get now are like, I'd love to help in any way. I'm good at doing these things. Is that something that you need? It used to be, I want to do what you do. And you know what I realized? The people who would say things like, I want to do what you do, what they were really saying was, I want to be socially accepted and famous. And now that you are effectively an apostate of the liberal order by coming out and being like, Orange Man, not that bad. Just saying something like that, they're like, oh, well, that won't make me famous. I don't want to do that. And I'm like, it's such a relief now. Because now I don't get the emails from people who are like, all I care about is notoriety. Now the people are like, I just care about it doing something good.
Right.
Way better.
Which is much more important than notoriety. And it also gives you a life instead of just a couple of moments.
The left has become overwhelmingly narcissistic, paranoid, delusional, and not every single leftist. There are some dirtbag leftists who are anti-woke and just believe in, like, leftist economic policy, and that's fine. But the overarching popular leftists on YouTube are, like, the most duplicitous pro-establishment shills. Plus, then you have the Uniparty, which is, you know, the neocons and the Lincoln Project, along with the Democrats. It's all the same thing. It is a hive of scum and villainy and narcissists.
That's because they became the thing they hated. They said, Trump is all of these things.
Or they were just projecting the whole time.
Right, and we have to beat him no matter what, no matter if we break all our own rules. So they became the horrible thing that they thought he was.
I don't think they have rules.
No, they don't have rules because there's not a value system. There's no undercurrent of ethos, right? It's just shifting sands.
When I see someone who can say something within the same, like, hour, like, there's a really funny tweet where they're like, F the police, F the police. Ashley Babbitt's shooter was justified. This officer. Yes.
That's a shocking thing to watch that, right? So I was looking today, CNN reported about how Pelosi's special committee on January 6th, right? Because that's what we're doing now. She reported about how they are now trying to get telecommunications companies to fork over phone records for, like, hundreds of people, including a bunch of
members of Congress.
Members of Congress, yeah, like mostly GOP legislators like Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and Jim Jordan and Jim Banks, the people that she cut from the committee in the first place after McCarthy appointed them. And CNN reported the committee's investigation into the deadly riot of January 6th. They keep saying this deadly riot thing over and over, and they refuse to ever just print where a police officer shot an unarmed woman to death with no warning or provocation.
This is one of the darkest stories, I gotta tell you, to be completely honest, from CNN. January 6th committee to ask telecommunications companies to preserve phone records of members of Congress who participated in Stop the Steal rally. They're doing it in increments.
Yes.
They're preserving the records because they don't want to come out right now and seize the records.
Did you see that?
A blacklist?
They did a roundup. They demanded all of the correspondence between.
Oh, that's not a blacklist. Okay.
It was conservative journalists and influencers and a bunch of people in the Trump administration and associates there.
That's right. Yeah. This is the next level. So they're doing it one step at a time. First, it's, you know, we want this information from the government on these individuals, the Trump administration and all the activists who helped him and their communications from around election time.
Yeah, they're trying to pull that from the archives.
They want phone records preserved, which means give it a week and they'll say, okay, now we want those phone records.
That's correct.
So this is...
And they're throwing.
We talk about the collapse of Afghanistan, but this is the collapse of the U.S. No joke.
It's horrifying to watch this unfold. And what we're seeing is that they don't actually have any evidence of the thing that they believe happened. right?
There's no one charged with insurrection.
That's exactly right. There's very few people charged with assault. There were like very few people charged with previous conspiracy.
Charges.
Right. And the previous conspiracy people were like known members of, you know, radical organizations.
I mean, it's like they said, the FBI report said there was no coordination or central planning.
Scant evidence.
Yeah,
they found scant evidence. Yeah.
They said there was some evidence to indicate people planned on breaking into the building, but no actual plan for what that would entail.
That's right.
So people smack talking on the internet, I guess.
That's basically it. And mostly they were doing it on Facebook.
And yeah,
even though
right.
they pulled Parler down to punish Parler for Facebook's sins.
And from this, we are now getting the Democratic Party going after their rivals. Mm-hmm. Their political opponents.
And
everything
exactly
they accuse Trump of doing, they are doing right
doing
now to
themselves.
The umpteenth degree.
That's correct.
So this is the end. I can't see how a country can lose in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. considering the past examples of the collapses of countries after failing in Afghanistan. Okay, maybe that's unfair, but man, was that bad.
It could and shatter this. The empire. Yeah, for sure. Like the Soviet Union cracked, but
that's
Russia
right.
remains. So,
I mean,
like,
even
well, sure.
even a search warrant, you need to have probable cause and say what you're looking for. And this committee, they're not even saying what they're looking for because they don't actually have any idea how they're going to prove that January 6th was a white supremacist conspiracy to overthrow the government.
They don't care about that. They want phone records because those phone records will then leak. Whoops.
Yes, they want all of it because they don't know what they're looking for.
I mean, we're at the age of just don't use a phone. Don't use unencrypted communication.
Right.
Stop.
Yeah, that funny story we always people know it better than I do, but that story about the war game they did where like the older guy went up against the younger guys and the older guy won because he sent communications by a motorcycle with a written note and they were trying to do digital and they couldn't track it or something like that. It's a funny story. Yeah, but you can't not use a phone, you know what I mean? But you can use things like Signal.
You can use Telegram and Signal, yeah.
Telegram and Signal, you can set up custom operating systems. You can learn how to flash, you know, different operating system on your phone. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but it's not particularly difficult. But I think the bigger issue here is it's not about looking for evidence. What they're doing is they're saying, for one, if you oppose us, we will dig through all your records. We know those records will leak to the press, whether it's social media or telecommunications. And more importantly, they're looking for strategy.
Well,
they wanted information on all of these people from April 2020 to January 2020.
Right. Once they have that information, could people just put in FOIA requests for it?
So the issue with the first request on social media was that they want government communications, things
right.
that already exist.
Right.
So entirely possible
that
now that
the
they've made
National
the announcement.
National Archive stuff.
Now that they've made right. the announcement that these things potentially exist, I'm sure BuzzFeed already went to town subpoenaing every single one
right.
of these individuals. It's actually, there's a funny thing that I did at Vice once we wanted to do, we never actually did, we were planning it, was to do a FOIA request on ourselves and see what comes up, and then whoever gets the biggest stack is the winner.
Nice.
That's
you know,
actually
going
kind of fun.
To North Korea, Venezuela, you'd wonder yeah. who has the bigger, you know, FBI file or whatever. So, but you can easily do this. You can now FOIA request saying like, oh, the Democrats requested this. I would like public information, you know, these documents to be leaked to the public on all of mm-hmm. these individuals and what they were saying. And it's going to leak regardless of FOIA.
Well, the National Archives, I don't think, have turned over the information yet. I think they have till like September 9th.
It'll happen.
You think so? It's the
Definitely.
Second request. The committee asked for it, I think.
Some of it
back
will
in
happen.
March or something. So.
Yes. So some of it's a lot of the requests is new. Some of it didn't get turned over, mm-hmm. but I think it will.
Interesting.
Oh,
I mean,
there's
we'll
resistance
see.
Before?
No, I think they just didn't do it. I don't know. I mean, the National Archives, they're probably sitting there like, really? We got to do something? Why?
It's so a lot of work.
The CIA,
it's a lot of work.
The CIA can look at anybody's info at any time without a request. They can do like a kangaroo court and get a FOIA or whatever that.
FISA?
Yeah, FISA. But Congress has to get permission. This is what we're learning, right?
They have subpoena power.
Yeah.
This committee has that power.
They could just subpoena, but I think they're slow rolling it. That's why they're saying preserve records.
Yeah.
That's why they're not saying we demand all records immediately. They're slow rolling it so that people don't get shocked. They want the frogs to boil, not jump out of the pot.
Right.
These are truly dark.
I know
days,
it's annoying.
Man.
I thought that the government was going to help me.
Also the the Durham
Growing
report.
Growing up, I was like, thank God I live in the U.S.
Oh, really?
I thought you meant like recently. I was like,
no
way, dude.
For like the last 30 years, I was like, sweet.
Right. I was like, after everything you've said, like,
this government's awesome.
Aren't we still waiting for the Durham report to come out also?
Ooh,
because
I don't know.
the But I think it was due already to
you
talk
like,
about
that. You were like, for a second there, like, is he being serious?
I caught on. I caught on pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
After I was in a little car wreck today, you know. Oh, man. A little
I don't think there's going to be a Durham report.
Right, you saw a four-car pileup you were talking about.
This oh,
just
yeah.
A little aside.
Yeah, it was behind me.
That's crazy. Like, you barely avoided it.
We
oh,
barely
it was like
avoided
Fast
it.
And Furious, and you like drifted, and the car flew over you, and yeah. You're like,
you rose up out of the car,
time
and your green lasers.
Down.
No, there was this crazy truck driver. He didn't brake in time. He smashed into a whole bunch of people, and the car behind me like smashed into us. And then I hit the gas, and we like got out of there.
Did you fear for your life at any time in that?
Kind of, yeah.
That, like, puts things in perspective.
I'm a new driver. I've only been driving for, like, less than a year now.
Like, we talk politics, yeah, but, like, when your life is on the line, look at these people in Louisiana right now with this hurricane. We didn't even talk about this yet. How many people are stranded right now?
Roofs coming off of hospitals.
Dude, I remember that one in, was 2003, the hurricane that George Bush.
The Katrina.
Katrina, and they mishandled that terribly.
1,800 people died in that.
People were on the roofs.
Yeah.
Now we're truly entering the panopticon. Drone footage flying overhead, filming people looting buildings. And
oh,
stuff
wow.
Like that.
In Louisiana?
So speaking of surveillance,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
what's happening
with
politics.
Sees everything but itself.
And
I
them
love
shutting
the
down the airspace over that wreckage earlier is probably because they don't want the panopticon.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're headed towards a future where there's going to be drones over your backyard. You're going to be in your bathroom, and the government drone's going to like fly up to the window, and you're going to be like naked. And it's going to be like, "Do not be alarmed, citizen. We are simply doing an ID check." And you're going
to
be like, "Okay,
you
won't be
able to
see the government drone. It's going to be Amazon
or Tesla. Well, maybe not Tesla, but Apple."
Like a big apple Tesla's going to have some kind of weird Musk type implosion situation, but it's definitely going to be Amazon saying, "Stay in your homes. We will bring you the things that you require."
Mm-hmm. That was a what show was I watching? I think that was Electric Dreams, the one I was talking about a little bit, where it's like the AI system wipes out humanity by just mass producing products of want, and so then eventually humans are just strangled out from the dying environment. And they're like, the machines just drop boxes of random garbage. But I think what we'll likely see is with moves like this over the, January 6th, they're going after politicians. Mm-hmm. They're going after prominent activists. This really does paint a picture of that future where Amazon is, like, there's a uniparty. Like, we had a uniparty for some time, but they'll lucratively merge with the likes of Amazon or whatever.
Well, that's already happening. I mean, when you see, you know, the administration was asked if they were going to do vaccine passports, and they said no, there will be no federal vaccine credential, right? But then they supported states doing it. They supported cities doing it. And they have been encouraging businesses to do it themselves. So you see that. They're already teaming up. They're already creating this corporate federal infrastructure that is horrifyingly difficult to get out of, like the CCP.
Yeah, it's I think
that's real. I mean, this is something I think is definitely happening, and it's happening with all of our acquiescence. We like having little pieces of garbage delivered to our homes.
I just watched this really amazing classical movie. It's called Fast and Furious.
Oh, yeah. Super.
Oh, one of the classics.
One of the classics. And there's
I have never seen this film.
It's good.
You got to see it. You know why? Because I was watching it, and the bad guy's name is Reyes. No, hold on. Listen, okay? The bad guy's name is Reyes.
Okay.
And he's a Brazilian, like, crime lord. And he was, in the beginning of the movie, this is a profound moment. I was thinking about this. He was talking to these two guys, and he says, you know, "I don't want to work with you. Your methods are too violent. You know, when you get violent and you back someone into a corner, they have nothing left to lose and they fight back. I give them something to lose and then I own them." And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's something big. Like, I didn't think I was going to get any kind of philosophy from Fast and Furious. But to say, like, give the people something to lose and then threaten to take it away,
that's
and
it.
You will own
that's
them.
That's why the Americans don't want to fight. That's why people don't want to.
That's
I mean,
we're
not,
on
I'm not
Amazon
speaking for everyone
and iPhones
here.
And all of it.
Yeah, yep. There's too much to lose. Mm-hmm. Like a nuclear war would. I mean, yeah, the people in Somalia would lose stuff, but we would lose.
No. Look at the people who trespassed and are getting 6 months in prison.
Most of them were like bankrupt already. A lot of these people had nothing.
And
you know, I think Ashley Babbitt, for example, was like facing bankruptcy.
So these are people like Reyes said in Fast and Furious who had nothing left to lose. Mm. And so now they're saying that what they're doing to these people is a reminder, you still have something left to lose. We will lock you up and torture you in solitary confinement for 8 months and then you'll realize what you've got to lose. And people are going to see that. That's the message they're sending. Give the people something to lose and you will own them.
It's messed up. Did you see what, remember, you know, Adam Kokesh? Did you see what they did to him back a couple few years ago?
No.
He went to DC and protested with a shotgun, an open carry. And they were like, well, that gives us, you know, what do they call it when they have
probable cause?
Yeah, probable cause to search your apartment. So they went to his house and they found mushrooms in his apartment, threw him in prison.
Yep. For mushrooms?
Just devastated him. And he came out a completely different person. Like, he does not talk crap about the government anymore.
Yeah, wow.
Terrifying, because he was a hardcore activist. Yeah. Ex-military.
Really?
They just look for it. They bring the hammer when they come.
He doesn't do any anti-government stuff?
I shouldn't say any, but he's not the outspoken vocalist that he was in the early days, like screaming profanity-laced tirades about the military-industrial complex because of mushrooms.
We're going to have a medical. Did you see how the government wants to expand the federal reach into medical research?
No,
that's awesome.
For
what?
For mushrooms?
For all of it, really. Oh. Yeah.
Well, there you
DMT,
go.
DMT, ecstasy.
This is part of MDMA, this is part of Biden's infrastructure plan. It's like billions of dollars to create more federal medical infrastructure.
I don't like that.
So I don't like it either. And the idea is that when we need vaccines, we would just have the government do it. We wouldn't have to, you know, engage American industry in doing these things in a competitive way.
I was talking to a friend. And they were saying something to me like, this is kind of a lefty person. They're like, I'm really scared about what's happening with these COVID numbers skyrocketing. And I was like, I get it. But I'm like, at what point do you just stop believing everything because of how much they've been wrong? You know what I mean? I'm not, not to say don't believe the numbers or anything. I'm just like, at a certain point, don't you throw up your arms in futility? Like, I've done everything they've said. Nothing's changed. We got vaccinated. We wore two masks. It's all the same. And they just keep blaming other people. And the response was like, but the government's really, really scared and that freaks me out. And so it's like, I don't know. I guess there are some people, there's two ways you can go when you come to the futility of like, I just don't know anymore. I'm broken mentally on this one. I've seen too much reversions and back and forth. I'm just like, you go do your thing. I don't even know. But then other people say, I give up. Just tell me what to do. I don't want to think anymore.
I think that is the point. I think it's an intentional confusion. So once once we give up logic, we have nothing. And the regulations and the rules that are coming down to us don't make any cohesive sense. They're not based on anything, right? And so if you look to, for example, absurdist literature from Eastern Europe during the Cold War, if you look at like Kafka or if you look at Vaclav Havel, right, who was a brilliant playwright who... Yeah. Ended up president of the Czech Republic randomly after the Velvet Revolution. But you can see in this literature where these writers have discovered or they rather elucidate the way that communism worked in those nations, where it's like they tell you one thing and then they do something else. Like if you look at the trial, right? Did you read Kafka's trial? So I read this in high school I had to convince them to let me read it, but whatever. So this guy, K, ends up on trial and he can never get any real information as to what he's on trial for, what it's about, who his solicitor is, what the punishments are going to be. It's all just very confusing. And it's very much like in Metamorphosis where he becomes the bug, right? So the guy, and this is probably easier to explain, but so he wakes up one morning, he's a cockroach. He's horrified that he's a cockroach. He doesn't know what to do about it. He goes all through, how am I going to explain this? What am I going to do? I don't know. As soon as he accepts the fact that he's a cockroach and nothing makes any sense and there's no way out of it, that's the end. That's kind of the whole story.
He's like, I'm going to go eat some garbage.
No, he just kind of dies. He like dies under his bed, I think.
Well, that's brutal.
Well, yeah, but that's what this is. If they confuse you enough, if they make you so confused that you stop questioning it, because to question it itself is going to make you crazy, that's sort of the end goal, because then you don't question. Then you just do what you're told. You just show up where you're supposed to show up. You hand over what they tell you to hand over. And in return, you get to have a drink on Smith Street in Brooklyn.
And watch The Simpsons.
Watch The Simpsons and like jerk off, right? You get to do that too.
I studied about
even gave everyone their OnlyFans back.
Okay. Oh,
they're like, we can't take that away. It's distracting people.
It's too much.
I tweeted this thing out. It's on my Twitter feed somewhere, about the gamification of trust, sociological trust. And what's happening, according to this game theory study, is that not that we've been overloaded with communication and that there's too much of it. All this new information, you know, the red pilling and the war on terror and the all that. But it's that the amount of misinformation is causing people to distrust each other. Mm-hmm. And then the cheaters, the ones that are willing to game that and work with the distrust, are proliferating as a result. And if there's too much misinformation, cheaters will overwhelm the system. And then you'll have a system of cheaters. If there's not too much distrust or misinformation, then the people that are willing to kind of play the game are going to override the cheaters.
There are some prominent leftist personalities who have always claimed to be anti-fascist, who are all of a sudden now making YouTube videos being like, why would anyone oppose government mandates on forced medical procedures? And I'm like, it's so weird. You know, for me, I've always been so in favor of freedoms. I've always been opposed to the coalescing of corporate power that I find myself aligned with whoever at the time seems to oppose the coalescing of massive corporate and government power. So it used to be the left. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they're all pro-corporate power, and now it's the right. And I say it all the time. Yeah. In a few years, you know, there will be a shift backwards, and it's people like Jack Murphy, a really great example of somebody who was a Democrat. Now he's like Democrat to deplorable, and I don't think it's that he's a Republican by party. He's a Republican by, you know, who's willing to support more of his ideals, and I feel that way. So I have a feeling that a lot of people like us who are like maybe in the middle right now, leaning to one side or the other, will shift back and forth depending on which tribe wants to actually adopt freedom.
And who's actually willing to back our natural rights. To what you were saying, Ian, about this misinformation thing, people aren't able to think critically. So they're not able to differentiate between what's, you know, supposedly misinformation and what's actually true or anything like that. And in part, that's because we've completely destroyed our educational system. So we've destroyed the canon. We've destroyed the literary canon. We've taken away Shakespeare and Homer and, you know, all of this other stuff that used to tell us kind of a timeline of this is the timeline of human thought about ideas. This is how you can, you know, track truth. This is how you can understand things. We've taken that all away. We've replaced it with stuff that we think is appropriate to think about now. And we've been left with a public that doesn't know how to think clearly because we haven't given them any examples as to how to do so.
I'd like to read a text message I received allegedly from the ACLU.
All right.
I have a series of text messages from a number from, I'm not going to say the number, but it's an ACLU number, supposedly they say. As schools start nationwide, Kimberly Crenshaw talks teaching the truth about race in America. Check out our podcast. Back to school merch that backs civil liberties. Why did the ACLU text me saying that Kimberly Crenshaw is going to, you know, have a podcast about back to school stuff? Listen.
She created intersectionalism.
Kimberly Crenshaw is as close as you can get to being a Nazi as you can in the modern era, in my opinion. When I see the stupid people walking around with the symbols of the Nazi party or whatever, or like the bikers who do it because they're trying to be, you know, punk or edgy or anti-establishment, that's very different from someone who is overtly identitarian, mm-hmm. wanting government based on race, and is a proponent of fascistic ideologies, whether they assert them like verbatim or not. But the people who are like, I believe the government should have absolutely authority to do these things. And also, I think the law should be based on race. Okay, yeah, that's as close as you can get to what the Nazis were doing. Mm-hmm. So when I see some of these prominent, you know, leftist YouTubers with over a million subs, and they're like,
you know, these anti-vaxxers are saying that the vaccine mandates are bad and the government shouldn't be doing this, but people should just do what the government tells them. I'm like,
so you support race-based ideology, identitarianism.
So does the government.
You support massive multinational pharmaceutical countries getting guaranteed no liability contracts. And you support the government forcing people to undergo medical procedures. Yo, you're Nazis.
Yes.
You're as close as you can get to it.
You're at the very least fascist. Yes.
I'm just gonna go straight for violating Godwin's law right away. Because when someone's like, you know, you just want people to live the way you want because you're a Nazi, it's like, well, hold on. I personally think people should take care of their own decisions and take care of themselves and their friends and their families, so long as they're not hurting other people. It's the It's the dominant left Democrat faction that are basically saying pro corporate power, mm-hmm. guaranteed contracts for massive unaccountable pharmaceutical countries, and the government will mandate
companies.
The Medicaid
companies. Yeah.
Pharmaceutical countries. Twice you said that. Dude. Are you prophesying something?
No.
I know we have theocracies.
You see what's happening? Because they're merging in my mind. Like I'm slipping.
Listen.
Massive multinational corporations. Say, here is the product, and these left establishment people are going, yay, save us big pharma. And then the government says, and you have to buy their product. And they go, yay, save us. And I love it. Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks said, do you think if the right wingers came out and said seatbelts were tyranny, that they would all stop wearing them? And I'm like, yo, libertarians do think right. forcing people to wear seatbelts is tyranny. And you know what? I remember this back in Illinois when they passed the law saying you have to wear a seatbelt, click it or ticket. And what I was told, I'm not saying it's true because I was a kid at the time and it was just the scuttlebutt I heard from the adults, was, yeah, the insurance companies were lobbying for seatbelt laws because it made sure their profits stayed the same because you have to have insurance, mm-hmm. but it meant their payouts would go down because people were less likely to get injured. And the politicians saw it as a safety issue and the insurance companies saw it as a reducing their expenses issue. So yes, it very much was in this Bloombergarian idea of the people are too stupid to live their own lives, so the nanny state has to tell them what they have to do. And now we have click it or ticket.
I hate the thing too where it's like people are like, why don't you know, the vaccine is free, just get it. And it's like it's so obviously not free. The Pfizer one is like $19.25 a shot, the other ones are like $10 or something like that. It's like my kid is gonna be paying for all of this stuff. What?
They were doing free vaccines for a while, but I think that ended, didn't it?
No, I'm pretty sure it's still stuff? Free.
I think so.
You could get it free at the Rite Aid.
Oh, I thought you were saying it wasn't free.
No, it is free, but yeah. It's not free. I mean, it's not actually free. The government is paying for it.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Our taxes are paying for
so
it.
So we're paying for it. And the administration is like sending out $250 a month to families who have kids for like every kid.
See,
which
this
is weird.
This is, but this
but
is,
the thing, too, is like this booster shot thing, right? So now booster shots
every 5 months.
Yeah. So we're just going to keep paying for that forever. It's like they finally figured out a way to turn us all into lifelong medical patients. They've been trying to do that for a while now, and here it is. And so at a certain point, your vaccine passport is useless anyway unless you re-up your dose.
Here we go from Insider, Business Insider. Fauci says U.S. still planning for COVID-19 booster after 8 months. Biden said shots could be administered after 5.
I know some people who already got theirs, and it hasn't been 8 months.
Wow. Mm-hmm. There was a tweet I saw where they were like, well, now all the data screwed up because we had like the regimen, you know, 2 shots, and then we'll track what happens, and now people are getting more. And look, I say it all the time. When there's a report we also have. Let me see if I can pull this up. This is from timcast.com. Switzerland warns of potential terror attacks on vaccination sites. The Swiss Federal Intelligence Service voiced its concern with the national newspaper of the weekend. That is horrifying. Mm. If people go to their trusted medical professional, do some research or whatever, make a decision for themselves, and that means they want to go get the vaccine, mm-hmm. they should be allowed to do it. Nobody should be stopping people from getting medicated, whatever that medication might be. Because there are a lot of people who are like, you know, that particular antibiotic is bad for this reason. It's like, dude, mind your own business. And so when it comes to Fauci and Biden, now the discussion around 5 months, mm-hmm. you'll get a booster. The problem is not, in my opinion, the vaccine. The problem is the authoritarianism.
That is the problem with it.
Yeah.
You see,
I was vaccinated. Like, the problem is telling everybody what to do.
And making, listen,
which
I was
is
talking
just not
to.
Not okay. I mean, we get to have decisions to make for ourselves.
I was talking to a lefty friend of mine and I said, you are supporting a massive guaranteed no liability contract for big pharma. It's the opposite of universal healthcare. And if this goes through, you will never see universal healthcare.
That's interesting. The other thing too is there have been, you know, anytime anyone tries to make a report about some concern with the vaccine, that gets squashed by social media instantly.
Oh, that's right.
So there's no way to have a public conversation because everyone's opinions have already been bought and sold. Yep. So you're not allowed to.
The rules. For instance, here, Putin says no to vaccine mandates. Is this, have you guys confirmed this at all?
Because I saw the report.
Who's reporting on it? Because I can't find any large organization reporting on this. I've got welovetrump.com, coronanews123.wordpress. Like, who? But okay. talk about authoritarianism or the lack thereof when the Russian premier is decided president, as that's what he's called. They're not going to do mandates if that's real. I think this all comes down, it hinges on do you
well,
think.
Well, then they'd have to give it away anyway, so maybe that's part of it.
What do you mean?
Well, probably they don't want to pay for all those vaccines for their entire population. Maybe, I don't know.
Good point. Yeah, another reason. But this entire thing hinges, whether or not these people are Nazis, whether blah, is like, what's the threat level of COVID?
This story is actually pretty old. I've got something from, this is funny, it didn't come up on Google, but it came up on DuckDuckGo.
Huh.
Putin says Russia won't make COVID vaccines compulsory, but skepticism remains a problem. It's from May 27th.
Interesting.
I Google searched it, I couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
This is from a day.
And then I went on DuckDuckGo and it popped right up.
Okay, maybe it's just a resurged article. I know he got the vaccine.
Or maybe he said something recently. Isn't it crazy? I saw a comment where somebody, I think it was on Reddit, where they were talking about how, emigrating to the United States and wondering if now they actually want to go back, to Russia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because of what's happening in the United States is it's absolutely insane.
Dude.
I mean, look,
it
look,
is
look.
Absolutely insane.
I hear these stories from friends where they're like,
watch this.
They're like, oh, my friend texted me, about like being friends with you or like, someone will say something like, oh, I got a text from a friend where they were like, I can't believe you would be friends with this person or that person. I can't believe you would watch this show or that show. Or you watch Alex Jones? Like, how could you watch or listen to Dave Rubin? He's far right. Tim Pool? And I'm like, you know what this reminds me of? Reminds me of being a kid and having people being like, I can't believe you turned away from the church. I can't believe it. What's happened to you? And it's like this level of dogmatic faith. And this emotional manipulation of messaging someone and saying these things, I'm like, yo, these people are in a cult.
Well, it's apostasy, because you've committed apostasy. That's what it is.
Here's the important thing. When someone would join a cult back in the day, you could take them away from the cult and deprogram them. But you had to get them away from the cult. Mm-hmm. You can't do it anymore.
It's their phone. Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's linked into their minds.
Well, and now they're fed back that same algorithm. So it's very hard to break away from that. You have to go to DuckDuckGo.
Yeah. Apparently, even then, when I searched Putin vaccine on DuckDuckGo, I got Putin gets coronavirus vaccine from March.
Well, you gotta search for the title, like Putin says no vaccine mandate.
You're right. I'm not an expert with searches.
Search for the words.
Search for them.
You will find them.
What? Give me the words, Tim.
I just searched for on DuckDuckGo Putin vaccine mandate, and then a bunch of stories popped up. Putin says no compulsory vaccines.
Yeah, rock.
I mean, to be fair, Biden said no compulsory vaccines.
Oh,
but
it's from RT. Okay.
Well, but he lied.
Well, I got CNBC right here.
Cool.
Well, the government isn't, the federal government isn't doing it. Bill de Blasio is doing it at the city level.
Yeah, but
all these other cities, San Jose is doing it.
Yeah, and New Orleans and San Francisco, and they're all doing this with the full backing of the federal government. Biden goes out there and says that he wants everybody to do this. He encourages.
Right.
Big companies to, I think it was just recently, like the other day when the FDA approved the vaccine, was it like a week ago?
Yeah.
And he encouraged big companies to require all their employees to get vaccinated.
This is another really weird thing that I've talked about before, but people keep emailing me claiming that the vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, isn't FDA approved. And they're using, like, it's the weirdest thing, a twisted semantic argument that is not true.
Oh, is this the other drug that has a different name?
Comirnaty?
Yeah. Okay.
Which is literally the exact same vaccine as per the FDA letter. And so when Bannon was here, he mentioned this, and I was like, I don't think that's true. And I Googled it, and I'm like, it says right here it is the vaccine that is approved. And then I got a bunch of emails like, Bannon is right, Tim. Take a look at this. And there are a bunch of articles like, Patriot National info or whatever. And it says something like, take a look at this letter. And so I read the FDA letter and it literally says the formulation is identical and interchangeable, but one is the marketing brand. Either can be used because they're the same thing.
What he was saying, I thought, was that Pfizer has a bunch of different vaccines that it's working on and only one of them has been FDA approved. That's the Comirnaty one. So when people say the Pfizer vaccine is FDA approved, they're not being accurate because it's one of the Pfizer vaccines.
One COVID-19 Pfizer vaccine. It is being marketed as Comirnaty. They are the same exact vaccine under just different names. The FDA letter says it is commonly known as the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine, which will now be marketed as Comirnaty. They are interchangeable and an identical formulation. Mm. And so for some reason, people are claiming You know, there are actually two different ones. I'm like, what do you, what?
Yeah, no, is Pfizer not working on other COVID vaccines? I don't know. But I thought that's what Steve was saying.
When so people keep emailing me this thinking that there's some like underhanded scheme to like trick people into thinking that Comirnaty is available, but it's not really. That way they're not liable. And it's like, no. Just like, did you read it? Mm-hmm. And so I just take a quote from the letter and it says like, these are identical, interchangeable, and the same exact formulation. And I email it back. I'm like, I don't know why you thought that was true. Did you read the letter?
Right.
But people, I think it's because when a lot of people said, oh, you know, I'm not going to get it until it's FDA approved.
Right.
And that was their like rationale. And then once it got approved, they needed to maintain a rationale.
Well, then that was Biden's whole speech last week was like, all you people who were waiting for it. Now it is.
I think just assert
so
your,
everyone just get it.
if you really are like, you know, it, just say it. Just publicly state how you feel about it and don't rely on semantic arguments.
Right. And maybe if you don't want to get the vaccine or any medical treatment, then that's kind of up to you.
It's up to you, and I am not going to give people medical advice.
When it comes to like mandating it and whether those people are Nazis that want the government to mandate this is like, how dangerous is COVID? That's what we have to ask. Because when people got polio and were getting paralyzed, they didn't say it was authoritarian Nazism to mandate a vaccine.
Yeah,
they just did it. Well, maybe they did, actually. I wasn't around. My dad got took it on the arm.
There were a lot of people who didn't want to get it. And also the federal government at the time put out a few different statements saying, you know, as people get this vaccine, people are going to die. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's from the vaccine. People die anyway. And sometimes these things are going to be you know, coincidental.
The CDC says it very, very bluntly. They've said it to me in a statement as I interviewed people. I actually interviewed one of the highest guys at the CDC in like his full military uniform a few years ago. And they said, we know there are side effects and adverse effects. We know that some people face problems, but it percentage wise, it is substantially better that people get vaccinated than not, even with the side effects. Basically, they're saying the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, or the risk from the vaccine is substantially lower than the risk from not getting it for society as a whole. So my thing is like, I'm very much for the individual. I think you have to find someone you trust when it comes to medicine, a medical professional, and come to a personal decision that I'm not going to make for you.
That's even what you were saying, talking to that CDC official a few years ago. That's even different than the messaging we're getting now, right?
No, I don't think so. I think it's on their website. The CDC literally
Okay.
Yeah.
But from the mainstream media, from social media, from like the way that that message is interpreted, that sounds very reasonable, right? The way that that message is interpreted is almost as though to say the American public is too stupid to figure out what
Bloomberg
to do.
Bloomberg literally said that.
Yeah. And so, you know, the way it's interpreted is that people are not trusted to make their own decisions. That's the problem, right? If that was what we hear all the time and people were like, oh, that's interesting, I'm going to make my own decision, I'm going to think about it. But people are told not to think about it, to just do what they're told. And that's the issue.
That is
the problem.
This is why I think it's all collapsing. Wow. First, we got the failure of Afghanistan, the absolute chaos of the Biden administration. Donald Trump was anti-elected. So people voted not for Biden. They voted against Trump.
Yeah,
but it's like to the
clearly.
Most extreme degree I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You have economic crisis, labor shortages, and you have no national unity. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean just like obviously there's a culture war. I mean quite literally a crisis happens. There's 15 days to slow the spread. And then instantly every single grifter of grifters comes out to make money. The pharmaceutical companies
right.
want no bid guaranteed, no liability contracts. The government just says fine. Then all of these local jurisdictions are like, I don't care. I don't want to be held responsible. So whatever that guy says, you do.
Mm-hmm.
All that's happening is people are saying, I want nothing to do with you. I want stuff for me. Like I said, what we're seeing is the elites knowing that we hit an iceberg and they're stealing all the silverware and running to the safety boats before anyone realizes what's happening.
This was interesting too the other day. So we have a mayoral election going on in New York City. De Blasio is going to be out, which is great. Eric Adams is he won the Democratic primary in June. He was the Brooklyn Borough president. He's relatively popular. He was not the far left candidate. So people were displeased that he won that primary. But anyway, he's running against Curtis Sliwa, who was recently doing a campaign event that was interrupted by a homeless guy who started like yelling about stuff. And Sliwa went over to him. He wasn't mic'd, you know. He just went over and started talking to the guy and being like, oh, you know, talking to him like a human being, which obviously he is. What's your situation? You know, have you been, are you supposed to be taking medication? Have you been hospitalized? And the guy breaks down and says, you know, I don't want to be a burden to anybody. I don't, you know, I don't want to do this to everybody. And Slee was like, no, you're not. Like, you're our responsibility.
And then he asks him, do you want to stand here with us?
Do you want to stand here with us? Yeah. Right. Now, the current administration, de Blasio's wife, Shirlane McCray, tweets out, like, if you see homeless people, call the homelessness outreach line. You had Bloomberg saying, you know, previously saying, if you see homeless people in need of help, you know, don't help them yourself. Call somebody and call the homelessness outreach to go help them. And I think this is part of it too. We don't take any responsibility for our neighbors. We don't take any care for the people around us. We assume that there's always somebody else who's supposed to do that thing, and that maybe we should let them know, hey, there's someone bleeding to death over here. I'm going to be late for coffee, you know, so I can't do it. You deal with it. And we see that all over the place in our culture, where we are supposed to put our trust in the government. We saw this with Obama. And I think in a lot of ways, this goes back to Obama. Like, Obama had this whole, video for Obamacare, right? That was this woman. And I think her name was Julie in the advertising. And she was just all by herself. And at every turn, the government was there to help her. Right down to, at a certain point, she had a child and the government was there to help her. She had a child. There was still nobody else in the picture at that point. There was still just her and the child. There was no one else that she could, there was no father, right, is my point.
That's bad marketing.
It was weird marketing at the time. And I remember looking at it being like, I don't want to have a baby with the government. You know, that's not, I'm not up for that. That's weird and creepy. And that's where we've landed. I was recently, again, like Facebook with people that I've known for a long time or whatever. And there was a woman who was saying that, someone in California had, come up with a lot of money for homelessness housing. And she found this infuriating because this was a private guy. And she was like, you know, why do we need this private guy to come up with homelessness housing? It's not his responsibility. The government should be doing this. And I was like, no, this guy should be doing it. If he thinks that this is his responsibility to take care of people, then he should be doing it. Obviously, we can't just have a government and say, everybody just rely on the government and the government will come and interfere in every aspect of our lives. We should want to take responsibility for each other. We should want to care about our neighbors and be cared about. Why do we not want that? There was an old woman who died next door to me. I had only met her two times. And I felt so stupid that I had, you know, barely ever interacted with her. And then her son shows up to clear out her apartment. And he's like, do you want, you knew my mother. And I was like, dude, I met your mother twice. Like, please don't give me her valuable things. I don't, you know.
Yeah, I'll give a shout
out. I am
out.
Garbage who lives next door to her. Like, I'll give a, I never, you know.
Shout out to Luke's video we mentioned before. It's called, I think it's called, like, Just Keep Going, You Got Nothing to Lose. Mm. Luke Rutkowski from We Are Change. And it's this old video he made back like 10 years ago where he's like, you know, I take the train every day in New York and there's millions of people, but I noticed they never talk to each other. So one day I decided to start talking to these people. And then he films and asks them questions that, you know, get kind of weird, like, do you trust the government? But I think it's funny, and it makes a good, you know, emotional point anyway, that, like, people in New York City, they live around each other. They don't, they're not neighbors. Neighbor is the wrong word.
That is exactly the wrong word.
Remember when Mr. Rogers would say, hello, neighbor?
Oh, yeah.
That meant something.
Yeah, that's
now it's like, you're not my neighbor. Like, you live next to me and you yell too much.
Yeah, I've actually started trying to, like, talk to the people in my building now. Ever since this woman died, I was like, well, that sucks. And so I've tried to talk to people and they just kind of look at me, but I think I'm going to keep it up. But there's this, there was a sign on the MTA, speaking of not talking to each other on the MTA with COVID, right? So there were, three options and the MTA let you know which one was the appropriate option. The first option was two stick figures having a conversation with no masks, looking animated, having a conversation. And it said, not this. The next one was people wearing masks having a conversation, and it said not this. And then the final one was two people looking down separately at books, not looking at each other, having no communication at all. And the MTA was like, this, this is what we want you to do. Don't talk to anybody. Wow. Don't look at anybody. Don't be near anybody. Don't exist with other people. Just live in your own literal bubble behind your face covering and go about your business.
That's the brave new world we live in.
Yeah, that's what happens when you let the corporations take over, man, whether it's the city, the state, the corporation, the centralized authority makes these stupid machine-like rules and restrictions on humans when we're not machines.
I watched this movie. It's called, I think it's called 2149, where it's like people live in concrete pods their whole lives, and they just, all they do is play video games, and they interact without, just by typing, and that's like the world.
That's the E.M. Forrester story also, The Machine Stops. Did you ever read that?
No. No, what's that?
It's a free download, in fact. You can get it because it's out of, what do you call it, copyright. The Machine Stops. E.M. Forrester wrote this book 1914, 1918, I don't know when it was, something like that. And all of these people live underground in their own little studio apartments. And whenever they need anything, they ask the machine for it. And the machine will provide it, whether it's food or anything else. Whenever they want to talk to each other, they all deliver lectures on basically telescreens. It's basically the internet. And that's how they talk to each other. And they respond.
1909.
Wow. There you go. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is a fascinating story. And
so basically he predicted people sitting in their mom's basements.
Yes, yes.
Playing Warcraft.
Yeah, and he predicted online dating as well.
Whoa.
Because the main character, this woman, I think her name's Vashti or something. So she lives in her little underground cubby. She delivers lectures through telescreen. And most of her lectures, most of the things she delivers, she talks about are responses to other people's lectures. And it is at the beginning of the story, she talks about how she was listening to a symphony and there was a glitch in it. And when she first recognized that, when she first heard the symphony with the glitch, she was very upset and she was, you know, wanted to complain about this glitch. And now she wouldn't recognize the symphony without it.
Creepy.
It's very creepy. And also she has a child, but she had a child with a man who showed up. They, you know, engaged, had a child, and he left and she never saw him again. So it's Tinder, it's Siri, it's like everything. It's Amazon. And then of course the machine breaks down. And so all of the people eventually they start like pouring out of their cubbies and the little transport system doesn't work. And her son, who had contacted her, makes his way to the surface to breathe air for the first time. And it's poison, and it kills him, and he dies. But he,
Yikes.
Wow.
E.M. Forrester is amazing. That led me to read everything E.M. Forrester ever wrote. And that's really the best thing. I should have just stopped there.
Well, how about we go to Super Chats? Smash the like button. Give it a gentle little tap. Yeah. Do it for Ian.
Just love it.
Yeah, just do it for Ian, everybody. You have to
make love to that.
And go to timcast.com, become a member. There's going to be a member segment coming up. We usually post them around 11 or so p.m. That will be for members, like I said. So make sure you subscribe to the channel and become a member over there. Smash the like button. Let's read some super chats. Deplorable Pirate Captain Gunbeard says, according to a new study, kids aged 5 to 11 went from an obesity rate of 36% to 47% because of the lockdown in the U.S.
Oh, no. Saw that.
That's really bad for people's
health.
That's a lot.
Jason D., says, Tim, you got some interference on your show. Yes, I think it was because the microphone may have been rubbing against the power cable, which causes interference. So the problem is it doesn't seem to be consistent. It seems to be intermittent. Intermittent. So I just moved the cables. Hopefully that solves the problem, but we'll figure it out. All right, let's see. Jeffrey Pfaff says, Iran still flies US F-5 1965 with heavy sanctions. That is amazing. Yikes.
I guess they know how to keep them up.
All right, let's see. Moonlight Film says, why does the Biden pullout got to be worse than Tim Pool's internet connection? That is not fair.
Rude.
The interruptions we've had the past couple of weeks was on YouTube's end, not our end. Our internet is working. We have got this robust multi-network system with fail safes, and the web was dropping out, not because of us. We had a clean connection the whole way through. All right, let's see. Hayden says, random, but I thought of something. Let's see. Hit IRS and Fed where it hurts by passing amendment where employers can't take taxes, Medicare, anything out of employee checks, forcing people to write a check to it to the IRS every year so it is more clear that return was their money already. You see, that's the issue. People get paid and their taxes are taken out instantly as a convenience, right? No, it's so that they don't realize. I remember when I first, my fourth or fifth job, but like my first big corporate job. And they were like, it's, you know, 10.25 an hour. So I was counting the hours. And then I was like, okay, so I worked 40 hours. I should be getting about this much money. Taxes will probably come out to this. So I think I'll get this. And I got like half. Huh. Yeah. And then I remember looking at my check and I'm like, hold on a minute. And they looked through it. They did the math. They're like, that's right. And I'm like, yo, I'm poor.
Yeah.
I can't afford to get $5 take home. Like, what is this? I saw it happen. So, well, I guess what I mean to say is for a lot of middle class people, they don't realize. At the end of the year, you're like, yo, I got a big refund. Yeah. And they high five. And it's like, oh, so the money that was taken from you just found its way back. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
and then you, and
poor
then
people see it.
The government earns the interest on your money and you don't get to earn it yourself.
Yeah. You can make a lot of money with that.
Yeah, I bet they do. I'm sure they do.
A lot of delinquencies when people would just get their full paycheck and at the end of the year had to pay taxes and they were like, I wasn't planning for this.
Right.
So you get.
Yep.
Then there's this weird thing too. So the administration is giving out like money for kids, right? So every child, every family, every kid, $250 a month. And I'm wondering what's going to happen when it turns out that they've been sending $250 checks to a bunch of people who aren't actually eligible for that child, that like same kind of deduction, or who owe money. And that's going to be screwed up.
Wow. There are a couple of super chats asking about this. Paulo Ramirez says sources are saying that about 200 military service dogs were released in the streets of Kabul. I haven't heard that. But it would not surprise me.
I saw an image of a bunch of kennels.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty disturbing. I couldn't
hard to fact check that. Yeah, we got to fact check that stuff. It's hard. Christopher says, I feel like at this point, the black swan event is that Joe Biden messes up everything to such a degree that we are all united. Uniting would truly be unpredictable. I got to say, man.
Good point.
Right now, you got a lot of populist leftists who are ragging on Joe Biden and the right ragging on Joe Biden. And so now you have this creepy neocon establishment Democrat alliance, which has been, you know, been around for a while, but now they've lost a lot of the populist leftists. So now it's starting to get funny when you see like the populist left being like, I'm going to buy guns and Biden is terrible. And like we were betrayed. Everything we thought we were going to get, we didn't get. And I love it when Biden was like, he didn't meet with Black Lives Matter or speak with them and they got really angry about it. It's like, yo, you thought this guy was going to give you something?
Meanwhile, you did get everything that you thought you were going to get. You got not Trump.
Yeah, there you go. Congratulations.
Well
done. How's not Trump doing for you?
It's doing, yeah, there it is.
Josh, oh my gosh, says last year the song Sound of Silence covered by Disturbed was the song of the dang year. My words fell on deaf ears like silent raindrops. Dude, Ian, I want to sing with y'all. I love to sing.
That would be awesome.
I love the Sound of Silence, the electric version from Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really great song. You know, you listen to the lyrics and I don't think it applies in any way or for the most part to today, but it kind of feels like it does, you know.
I don't know the lyrics. I love that song. That song is so good. I was just listening to Bridge Under Troubled Water yesterday too.
Yeah. Like a lot of it reminds me of Twitter.
Really? Sound of Silence?
Sound of Silence.
Well, yeah. Like the lyrics talking about like people not actually listening. Praying to the neon god they made.
That's right.
You'll notice if you are completely silent, you'll hear the blood going boof, boof, boof in your head.
Right?
It's never truly silent.
It's true.
Yeah, there's that room that's like the quietest room in the world.
I want to go there.
That apparently it's so quiet people can't stand
it. We got to build something like that.
Isn't it like sensory deprivation or something?
That's form of it, yeah.
Well, so it's a room where you like walk on a platform and the whole room is like, it's like spikes all around.
Mm-hmm.
So that sound is completely absorbed. There's no echo.
Wow.
I will tell you this. I had one little recording studio where I put sound foam everywhere and it's almost painful. It's the weirdest experience. Like there's like, it's not like there's a loud echo where you can hear your words repeated back at you normally, but you truly understand sound reflection once you dampen the whole room. And then it sounds like it's weird. Wow. It's a weird feeling. Your words seem to have like no weight to them.
Yeah.
Cause they just disappear instantly.
You're like cocooned.
Yeah, it's a creepy feeling.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's like Vantablack with light. It like sucks up 99% of the light.
That would be a cool room to make.
A Vantablack sound
acoustic
absorption.
Room.
Yeah. Have you seen Vantablack? It just looks flat.
So yeah.
Cool. A black body?
Yeah.
It's just nothing.
Body.
They put a laser on it.
Anish Kapoor
like
has used it for art projects.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Vantablack sound absorption with like LED lights of different colors.
Yeah. Trippy.
That would be the craziest room ever. We could make like a floating room where we do that.
Where
should
the room
be floating,
like,
yeah.
Like turns and spins.
It could be like on a gyroscope. It'd be like a gyroscope. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that because the sound absorption stuff are like pointed, you know.
Okay.
But it would be like suspended by cables.
Mm-hmm.
So then you'd go in and it would be two layers. So the inside room is mounted on, you know, four corners, and then there's a gap between the outer room, which is suspended on cables. Everything's Vantablack, and then there's acoustic absorption around the whole thing. So you walk in, you'll still touch.
Right.
That's why with sensory deprivation tanks, you're floating.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know.
It's like the water. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting.
Have you used one of those?
No.
Yeah, I want to go. We were talking about building.
I have wanted to do a sensory deprivation thing. So but I think I have trust issues because it's like.
That's it.
How would you?
You just cry.
Yeah.
Just lay there and cry and cry and cry. That's pretty nice.
All right. Madison Lynn says, Ian, I saw your Federal Reserve video from 12 years ago. Did you ever get the word out like you said you wanted to?
Oh, I think I saw your comment. Well, I'm getting the word out now. Sometimes it takes a little while.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
It's a slow burn.
Yeah.
Bruno Bronoski says, Biden's razor. Never attribute to malice that which is adequately explained by unimaginable, never before seen incompetence.
Mm. That's sort of my take.
The Sleepy Joe.
I just think the experts aren't that smart. I think we have totally misjudged them. Think about it. They all went to the best colleges, which we now know are garbage. You know?
Guyden says, Tim, to correct your timeline. Al-Qaeda was in Afghanistan before Taliban. Taliban were the radicalized next generation that had been living in exile during the USSR war and were returning when USSR left. Interesting. Well, there you go. All right, let's see. Kyle O'Brien Brian says, I would trade Biden, his administration, and all the woke generals for just one of the service dogs we left behind. Convention of states now, we can't be governed by corrupt cowards who hate us.
That's so sad.
I got a Daily Caller story. Death sentence animal rights group goes after Biden administration for allegedly leaving service dogs behind. It's from the Daily Caller.
The British took their service dogs home.
Wow.
Not as good as them, I guess.
They're mad at us for really good reasons.
We deserve it.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, apparently our special relationship is on the rocks.
Musky Ferret says, so we left Afghans aircraft that they were not able to operate or maintain? Also, we are there for their natural resources. Nobody cares for freedom.
That is a based super chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of poppy, right?
Yeah, poppy seeds, which give you opium, which you can make heroin with.
No. It was clearly to make lemon poppy seed muffins.
Clearly to reshoot The Wizard of Oz and the scene so she can lay in the poppies again.
Is that what she did?
She laid in a big field of poppies and got, she just like totally got drugged out.
Wait, so
like,
if
she falls asleep in the movie,
right.
But it's totally opium from the poppies.
So if the Taliban is now going to be making a whole bunch of heroin.
Dude.
And our southern border is wide open. Are we about to have a massive?
No, the Taliban bans all that stuff, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah, they like.
But they'll sell it.
They'll sell it, right?
They'll export it. They don't use it in the country. They don't allow that, but they'll allow it to get out.
I won't be surprised.
Fun.
All right. Tin Man says, I was enlisted in the Marine Corps, and if you lost your weapon during training and couldn't be found, they would literally close down the base until it was. Then you'd get NJP'd. They left $80 billion in weapons in Afghanistan at double standard much? Yeah. Oh, that's beyond a double standard, man.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I love that your name is Tin Man, by the way, after that Wizard of Oz shout out.
Yeah.
Daniel Morden says, Tim, what do you think would happen if the U.S. pulled all of its troops out of South Korea in 1970? What the U.S. just did by pulling out of Afghanistan was the modern equivalent. Troop presence is deterrence against aggression. You know, I think there's similarities, but I don't think it's the same thing. But there are similarities, and that's the big challenge. This is a moral conundrum I've brought up before because I'm happy that South Korea exists and is flourishing and is growing and things like that. At the same time, I don't like the fact that the U.S. gets involved in all these other people's business. And so it really is a challenge. I think, there's, it's not so much about a principle like I believe in free speech, but more so where do you draw the line on free speech? Because I can say I'm for free speech all day and night and then be like, oh, but if someone incites violence, and then if you entertain the idea that the government can pass a law to say something isn't free speech because incitement to violence is bad, then someone says, okay, pass the law saying hate speech isn't free speech. And you're like, oh, okay. So maybe we're either for all free speech, even if, as you know, whatever you say, or we're okay with the government putting restrictions. Therein lies the big challenge I think everybody butts into. So to answer your question, if the U.S. pulled all the troops out of South Korea, North Korea would have came in with the Soviets and taken over, and there would be no South Korea. It would be, well, I don't know, is Vietnam, how's Vietnam doing? I haven't looked into the politics of Vietnam.
They have a lot of contracts for manufacturing. A lot of clothes and things are made there. Similarly to Cambodia, actually, there was like a whole treaty with regard to that.
Yeah. So I don't know, you know, it is very difficult, but regarding, I think we should not have entered Afghanistan in the first place.
Like regarding free speech.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Obviously you can't go out and on TV and command people to do violence, but like if you're in your room alone and you say the most vile, illegal stuff, you're fine. You're in your room alone. If the government's spying on you and hears you in your room alone just saying stuff like you're reading a script, you know, you're reading some crazy violent lines, whatever. Maybe you're not reading a script. It doesn't matter because you're alone and you're not inciting violence. But it can be taken out of context.
They'll arrest you.
If they're spying on you, they can take it out of context.
I had an idea for a joke with my friends because we were playing GTA a long time ago, like GTA 4. And my one friend was yelling these really awful things, like, take it to the bridge, go to the bridge now. And I'm like, yo, the things you're saying right now and telling us to do, like, if we're taken out of context. So I just imagine there's like some cops in a van and they're listening and they hear this guy being like, and then we're going to take the car, drive it underneath the bridge. Et cetera, yeah. Et cetera. And then the cops are like, it's happening. And they break in and it's some like, oh. It's like three fat dudes playing GTA. Like, what's happening?
Right.
Like all out of context.
If they're going after phone records and things. I mean, it's so, all that's out of context.
All right. Race Gardner says, adding to Ian's point, then we should further assist Elon provide internet to the whole world through the mini satellites. Side note, did you see the military dogs left in their kennels at the airport?
Yo. Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah, internet, global just internet, that's a big part of it.
Left a bunch of dogs in the airport.
Man, I'm not putting anything past U.S. government today.
Why would they do that?
Elizabeth Carmella Comedian says, to add to all the bad news of the day, Lake Tahoe is currently burning down here in California. I live about 2 hours away. We've been inundated with smoke for weeks. Everyone has been evacuated from there. Please give a shout out to them and pray. Yeah, sad to hear it. I hope everybody's okay. Natural disasters, man. It's scary stuff.
It's interesting about that with Larry Elder, who's running against Gavin Newsom, has brought up the points about how a lot of these wildfires are due to poor forestry management.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which a friend of mine, Sashi McEntee, who was the mayor of Mill Valley, California, has also been saying that these wildfires are in large part because of that.
Yeah, PG&E runs a bunch of old, outdated power lines through the forests, and they're like, you know, debris and sticks and then one of the power lines will go out and set a forest fire.
Yep.
But I feel like you should be able to run lines through a forest without having to worry about the forest being so poorly managed that you're going to set the whole state on fire should something go wrong. Because I feel like lines are going to go down, right? And then you shouldn't have to worry about California being so horribly mismanaged that you're going to burn the whole state
I think
down.
They run power lines underground in some places on Earth.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Lots of places. California.
New York.
Yeah. This above ground thing's weird.
Yeah, Listerable says, it's so strange to hear everyone talk about what POTUS does as if his mind was working. That's a good point, to be honest. Brendan Thompson says, Tim, I'm sick of you lying about my country, Australia.
Brendan.
Brendan Thompson. We can buy Foster's Lager here. What did I say, Brandon?
Yeah. Oh, it was Brendan. I think you said Brendan. I was just shouting out Brendan.
Oh, okay.
You can buy Foster's.
What do you guys think of Jacinda Ardern?
I'm a little weirded out by her.
She's totally weird.
She seems kind of authoritative.
Really? And she also had a thing after the Christchurch shooting. She had a call, what she called the Christchurch call, to try and get all Western nations to censor internet speech.
That's crazy. I was working at Mines while that was going on and facilitating some of the Boost admin stuff. And people kept posting the video of the Christchurch shooter, first-person video. Uh-huh. And then they'd, like, overlay the Doom console, and it was like a video game, like how many people you could shoot in the head. Yikes. So disturbing. But I mean, it messed me up. It changed me to see that over and over. So I understand censoring. You know, you got to protecting the young mind. That's what this is all about, I think, the censorship thing.
All right, let's see. Lucy Lurker says Brandon Burns in Las Vegas is working to stage a protest on September 7th for a mass call out with a rally in Las Vegas and elsewhere. Freedom of choice rally. He has a good take and would be a great guest to have on. I Google searched vaccine mandate protest, and I'm pretty sure you can find every single city. Like, just name a city. It was like Roswell, Dubuque. New Mexico. Yeah.
Dubuque.
Cedar yeah. Rapids. Not Dubuque, but, you know, Cedar Rapids. And it was just like, I had a list of like 30, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I can't even fit this in my browser, so I had to get rid of some of them, and I was like, I read that in my main segment, like, protest, 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 protest. And it's a lot of healthcare workers, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of nurses and stuff.
Yeah.
Saying, nah.
Which is interesting, too, because we have such a huge nursing shortage, and we're willing to just have a worse nursing shortage.
Yep.
This is it. Hundreds gather in Santa Monica to protest. Mm-hmm. Hundreds protest in New York. Protests mm-hmm. in Greece get mm-hmm. violent. Like, this is like mainstream. This should be, of course, you're not going to see it on CNN.
Yeah, you don't see it.
Yep.
You don't see it unless something violent
and what,
happens.
What flag did the guy in Santa Monica wave?
It looks like the LGBTQ. I don't know, it's purple.
There's a photo.
Don't. Oh, he's got the gas in
there. That's right.
But it's a rainbow Gadsden flag. Right. I love it.
Absolutely. Hey, man, rainbow flag with the Gadsden flag.
Oh, when it comes to my body, I call the shots, and then it shows the shot.
I love the Gadsden pride flag.
That's cool.
Don't tread on me. The Gadsden flag in many forms. Yeah. Have you seen the Antifa total fascist one where it says, you know, we will tread, and it's a snake being squeezed by the fist?
I have not seen that.
Not pretty.
Yep, and they march around with it's red and black, which is funny because like they're claiming to be anarchists who are going to force people who are libertarians. Like Checks what? Out.
That's right.
Yeah, these people are creepy weirdos. Anne Mack says Libby Emmons quote from the last show: "New York artists have been co-opted by authoritarianism. At this point, it's propaganda. Do exactly as you're told. They create the type of work that they are told."
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. And so, so where do you live, Libby?
Dude.
Come on, you can do it.
All right, let's see. Chaos Aeternum says, truckers join the fight. Australia and U.S. drivers are organizing to protest, and I'm optimistic we will win this game of chicken. Spread the word. You guys rock. Truckers.
Nice.
That's
where
there's
a trucker shortage. Have you guys seen that?
Mm-hmm. That's why gas prices... Yeah.
That's a disaster.
That's a big.
In the UK, there's a huge problem too because most of the truckers are like 55 or older, and they're not getting any new people in to the business. Yep. Yeah. And once we don't have anyone to deliver our crap to us, like,
ooh, we're gonna
what
lose
are we
our
gonna
minds.
Do? We're not gonna have any stuff. We're not gonna have any food.
Cole Will says, love Tim's nonstop reporting on current events, but we need solutions. One is removing the need for fiat and central bank investing. What is Ian's opinion on BlockFi and DeFi or Celsius Network and BTC after mining is over?
Well, BlockFi holds your crypto for you. They'll pay you interest on it, but you don't actually have the money while they're holding it. The other stuff, DeFi, what is that? Decentralized
finance.
Yeah, it's a whole movement called DeFi, and that's like the decentralized finance movement.
And Bitcoin mining ends in like 100 years or something.
I don't know. Yeah, eventually, yeah, like, and then it's going to be proof of stake as opposed to proof of work. Where like just the fact Bitcoin that you have the money allows you to get more money or something.
I think they'll fork Bitcoin. Something will happen. There'll be a vote. It'll fork into something slightly different and then you'll get centralized takeover.
You asked a lot of questions about a lot of different things, but I agree with you that solutions and new technologies is where we're going. And we're building new shows on the Timcast Network about that specifically. So
that's why we have the Cast Castle vlog rolling with, we're just about hitting daily videos. The goal is to not just be always so negative, but you take a look at some of the prominent creators like on YouTube and where they've gone, and they're like legit pro-establishment shills. Like, you don't even gotta think. You can just do what the government tells you to do, you know? It's like, no, we're gonna make fun videos where we like, you know, ride around on motorcycles and there's chickens and, you know, we race cars and jump over the roof, and then we're gonna have a Gadsden flag saying, think for yourself and live free.
I want to build a solar-powered water condenser on the property, if possible. They work more in the desert, though, so it might not be...
Oh, it's so humid here, you'd fill up, you know, 100 gallons in an hour.
Interesting.
Yeah, we'd be like, Ian, what are you supposed to do with all this water you've condensed?
Drink it.
That's a cool idea. That's really easy to do.
Good idea, yeah.
Yeah, you just put it outside, and you like, the water condenses.
Different. Yeah, I'll show you the plan.
Honestly, we could just do a standard a water condenser where you do like a really big net with like the sheets.
Oh, those are great. Those fog catchers.
Yeah, exactly. And the water just drips down.
Yeah.
I mean, when we had a mini ramp outside every morning, we'd get like 2 gallons of water on it. And it was really annoying because I had to go out and sweep it all off just from the humidity.
That would be good vlog content, by the way.
And I was thinking, like, what if we took the skate light material, which is a plastic wood kind of like resin of some sort. It's like a resin wood chip mix. And what if we just put those up and just funneled them down? You get so much water every morning. It's insane. So you don't even need solar powered.
Yeah, not here. Those are for deserts, the solar ones.
Yeah.
That's what I think our military should be doing, is building water for people around the earth, wells and things like that.
I mean, if we build these artificial water capture devices, we could probably reclaim desert.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Man, just bringing water into it.
At the very least, we can be like, yo, we're not the bad guys anymore.
Mm. All right. Let's see. Butt Grubber says, Tim, the state of Washington is firing hundreds of employees in the state police alone of the vaccine mandate while taking away their retirement and unemployment benefits. Look up Trooper LeMay on Jason Rant's podcast. Yeah, I was talking to a friend, and just like a normie, and then I was just like, what they're doing with the vaccine mandates with no medical exemptions is nightmarish and like Nazism. And she was just like, that's not happening.
It is happening, yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Happening.
Like, prove it. And I'm like, here's me doing the reporting and appearing on Fox News primetime telling everybody that New York did this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you got to just Google search, man.
That's a thing, too, where people don't want to see that the thing is happening that they don't want to have happening. So they just assume that it's not, because it's illogical.
It's like not checking your bank account balance because you don't want to be out of money.
Right. Yeah. That's a clever move.
It's a trick. Doesn't work.
I'm going to try that one next
time. Next time.
Mm-hmm. Neil Williams says, Tim mentioning Electric Dreams is the equivalent of Joe Rogan mentioning DMT on the podcast.
Yes.
No, I think Marvel references.
Star Trek, yeah.
Or, well, Star Trek, it's been Stargate as of lately.
Oh, yeah.
But I mentioned Electric Dreams, I think, 5 times.
Did you watch Stargate? I've never really gotten into it.
I've missed a bunch. I've probably seen like 150 episodes out of the 200 and something.
Should I like start at the beginning and watch it?
It's really good.
Movie. Movie first. Did you see the movie? Movie is really good.
The show starts off based on the movie, but it's different. It's like there's plot points.
Different actors, but the plot is different.
I'm super into Trek, but I've seen
Stargate.
Now, I think it's
so much better. I don't want to spoil too much, but it is like a super old show.
Mm-hmm.
Stargate starts off with like modern military, just, you know, like, oh, look, we got the Stargate to these other planets and these other galaxies. And it ends with humans adopting all this crazy ass technology. And now they have beaming, like they develop, well, they get technology from other races that they trade with. And so it's cool to see humans go from kinetic weapons just by luck having a Stargate that allows them to interact with more advanced technological, you know, species, to having warp capabilities, building the ships, going to war, and then becoming one of the dominant species in the galaxy. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
It's awesome. James Spader, you familiar with his work?
Yeah.
He's the scientist in the movie.
No way.
He's so good. My problem with the TV show was I felt like we were missing a James Spader.
Well, you're always missing James Spader when he's not around.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to James Spader.
I love him.
All right, let's see what we got here. Jonathan Aylmer says, Tim, ICU nurses at Sydney's Prince Alfred and St. Vincent's hospitals are blowing the whistle that patients are being sedated to safely control them.
Whoa.
I haven't heard any of that. That sounds crazy, but it's true, though.
Okay, as a point of reference, too, sedation is a technique that is commonly used in hospitals to keep people from removing IVs, from injuring themselves, falling on the floor. I used to sit with people who were being sedated to make sure they're still breathing, to make sure they weren't pulling IVs out and coming undone from their bondage equipment.
This is an important one. Finkenfarn says, hey, Tim and crew, how is the forensic analysis of the Freedom Phone going? Keep up the good work. Your voices give hope around the world.
I think it's just a matter of buying them.
Yeah, we have the people who are going to, we know who's going to be doing the analysis on them, and now we just need to get them shipped out.
Okay, tomorrow.
So you guys are checking those things out?
Yeah, we want to, Ian's got like a list of like, he's got a crack team of tech whizzes.
Oh, good.
Developers have been working on the Fediverse project.
Okay.
We're ready to shred this thing and then integrate our software into it for future.
Cool.
Future mods are going to be great.
Cool.
So we'll get that shipped out ASAP tomorrow. All right. Let's see. So a lot of people are saying that I'm wrong about the FDA letter. Hondo says, Tim, Pfizer says they are legally distinct. I've read both letters, EUA and the BLA. Until it's packaged with the legal disclaimer, two items can be identical and packaged differently. Right. I'm just wondering what the argument is for a legal distinction and how is that relevant to saying that the vaccine isn't FDA approved when it's the exact same thing, but you're arguing a brand. You know what I mean? Like, they're legally distinct. I get it. Is it an issue of the emergency's authorization and like liability or something?
I don't know.
They're the same. They're the same exact vaccine. Same exact vaccine. Just one's got a different name.
I want to get to the bottom of this. So apparently something's inaccurate.
Well, I guess they're saying that there is the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine and the community vaccine, which are identical in every way, except they're legally distinct products by name.
And one of them got FDA approved. The other one did not, but they're identical.
Right.
I see.
And they can be used interchangeably.
Oh, okay.
That's what the letter said.
So, okay.
But I, so I don't.
So technically it's not FDA approved, but it can be used interchangeably with the one that is.
I think that's kind of semantics. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Like the FDA saying like this formulation, it's good to go.
It's weird that happened.
I don't know, whatever. I think, you know, as per usual, don't take medical advice from wackos on the internet. We're just internet people talking to cameras, you know? Yeah. I'm not your lawyer. I'm not your financial advisor.
I'm not your friend. I'm not your foe.
Okay,
I'm just kidding.
Find your own lawyer. That was find your own investment banker. Find your own doctor. Yeah. Talk to them and get sound advice. I do think when it comes to all of this stuff, there's a few things I should say. Legal advice is never really an issue on podcasts, I guess, but when people do legal shows. But when it comes to finance and when it comes to medical stuff, get off the internet. You know why? We get super chats all the time from people saying like, hey, Tim, big fan of the show. You just wanted to shout out the hard work you're doing and mention that, you know, BRN, crypto, is the number one currency and everyone should. Okay, dude, I don't even know. Like, no, dude. People are always trying to do some kind of social media thing to like pump and dump. Yeah, and the same thing is true with like, There's a lot of people who are posting things with confirmation bias or cultural issues. Just make sure you talk to people you know and trust, because the internet is a crazy place full of crazy people. That's why I'm like, the vlog is so important, the Cass Castle stuff, because it's like, really, you're going to see people who have the principles of freedom, like, you know, Andy's wearing a Rothbard shirt while he's skating. But it's not a show about politics. It's not like we're going to be preaching to you about what you should. It's just going to be like inspiring you to be a better person, have fun, get some optimism. Making good news, fun news, you know, the dog running around and the chickens are flapping and jumping and just, you know.
Dude, me and Carter were playing music earlier. Carter Banks, he's our he's our resident orchestrator.
Yeah, new producer.
Magnificent musician. Man, did it sound good.
Cody McNutt says, I have a Gadsden Pride's flag hat patch. It really confuses people. I love it. Absolutely. All right, let's see. We'll do a couple more here. The survival preppers say the vax mandate is a purge of those who don't align with the promoted narrative. Hundreds and thousands of people are going to be fired. Who will they be replaced by? If you're not prepping already, it's a good time to get started. Thanks, Tim and crew. Do you guys see this thing on Facebook where it's like somebody posted something about canning, like making jam and beans and then putting it in a can?
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook has like a warning. I haven't confirmed it, but people have tweeted it out saying, does it feel like someone is becoming too prepared? Notify, you know, look for the signs of extremism.
What? That's insane.
I saw a couple different posts. I haven't confirmed it.
Oh, okay. I love it.
But we all saw the thing on Facebook where it was like, you may have been exposed to extremist content.
Yeah. My favorite
was the, you know, the meme of the shifty eyed, you know, guy going like this. And it said, when all of your friends get notifications about extremist content, but you don't.
You. Yeah.
It's you. You're doing it. All right. Let's see. Riley Anderson says, hey, Tim, fellow beanie guy here. Can you explain why you consider yourself left-wing libertarian and, more importantly, where you disagree with modern Republicans that classifies you left libertarian? Well, Republican doesn't necessarily mean libertarian or whatever. Republicans tend to be, like, I would say, overwhelmingly moderate conservative, leaning towards, what's the right way to put it? Classically liberal, not colloquially liberal, like the actual true meaning of liberal, as opposed to libertarian. But left libertarian is basically like hippies living on a farm. Where I disagree with Republicans is probably on, like, I'm less free market capitalism than many Republicans. I'm in favor of social programs. The problem I always mention, though, is that idealistically, it's really easy to be like, we should all cooperate and have certain system in place that have certain guarantees. Like, I love the fact that the fire department exists. I love firefighters. They're fantastic. I like the idea of the armed forces, and these things are, You know, it's a government service, it's a guarantee, and I think there's good reasons to have them. So the issue is basically like, on the left and right scale of the political compass, the right is where you start getting into more and more free market capitalism, and the left is where you get more and more into, what's the right way to put it, cooperative systems. So, it's hard to actually break down. But the simplest way to explain it is left libertarian would be like 10 hippies living on a farm or a small tribe of 30 people that come to agreements. A family. I think Jack Murphy mentioned this. A family is communist. There's a guy who's the father and the mother. They're in charge. They control things. They delegate responsibilities. The children just have to do what they're told, but they're provided for. And that makes sense at a really small level. So left libertarian is like, hey, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you want to come hang out, pitch in around the house. We got pizza. We got beers. It doesn't work when you go into multiple cities, because now one city is like, that's not fair that we do this work and you get that. And then you start needing better systems of economics. So the way I usually say it is, idealistically, I'm left libertarian. Realistically, I'm like socially liberal. So I'm like centrist, you know, slightly left leaning on some policies. I'd love for there to be universal health care within this system. I don't know if the system is free of corruption to the point where we could actually have it. So I'll leave it at that. Go, make sure you smash the like button. You have to. Ian's life depends on it.
Oh.
And gonna go to timcast.com. Oh. Then go to timcast.com, become a member, because we're gonna have a members only segment coming up for all of you who are members. Share the show with your friends. Give us a good review. You can follow the show at timcastIRL all over the place where we post clips. And you can follow me personally at timcast on, you know, Twitter or whatever, and Minds and stuff like that. You wanna shout anything out, Libby?
Yeah, you can find me at Libby Emmons on Twitter, and I'm at The Post Millennial, and you should check us out.
You can also follow me at Ian Crossland on Minds and at Twitter and everywhere else, and at iancrossland.net. Catch you later.
And you guys are more than welcome to follow me on Twitter at Sour Patch Lids. I am approaching Sour Patch Kids, and that is my goal in life, so please help me out with my goal.
We will see all of you over at timcast.com for the special members-only segment. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.